wanted to give big updates on Trump's speech last week about communist China that you and I have been detailing for years. The documents have come out, but even more, you have federal court documents that they've told you not to release, but you're going to do that.
There's a dirty Venezuelan software package that lets you steal elections. It was in Smartmatic, where it was called SAES, Smartmatic Automated Election System. They bought an American company called Sequoia, and they put it inside Sequoia, where it was called WinEDS. That dirty package got shifted, and it's actually inside Dominion. They call their system Democracy Suite. They've been denying like hell that they have WinEDS. I'm going to prove to you that it is in their system. What's happened now is Liberty has come along. Actually, Liberty is just a new name on Dominion. It's the same corporation. So that dirty package is still inside. Trump released this last Thursday night, the CIA document, summary of their own intelligence reporting, 04 to 20. Document 2, they talk about how they have had persistent concerns that Venezuela was developing systems to cheat elections. Well, they did, in fact, develop that software, and it was the WinEDS that I just walked you through. They are acknowledging that, yes, Venezuela developed this, and they've been stealing or trying to steal their own elections with it. Let's go to an internal Dominion email, which I'm not supposed to show anyone. This is from 2011. A guy named Craig Short, contractor for Dominion, is talking to Sherry Hadsky. You're going to see in a moment. She's the secretary with the Secretary of State of Louisiana. This is all about the WinEDS upgrade. Now, remember, you're going to see Dominion's come out and say, we don't have WinEDS. No, we never. That's all some junk from the past. But meanwhile, their internal emails, they're talking about upgrading their system. She says, hey, confidentially, if Democracy Suites, if this runs on Windows 7 and this WinEDS runs on Windows 2003, don't we need two servers? So she knew and Dominion knew that they were, in fact, still using WinEDS. And the guy confirms, yes, that we're going to need two servers. This is an email from Eric Coomer in 2020. He's running the elections in Chicago. He's writing a guy, Goran Obradovic, who's in Serbia. They're talking about setting up servers to process ballots as they come in. So this is a few days before the election. He says, 30 minutes, 12,000 ballots. We may have some timing problems. We can set up the cartridges to load overnight as they come in scare quotes, and then as they come in, meaning we're going to be uploading them, but pretending that these are ballots coming in from the field. We can then load them into the WinEDS. So here's Eric Coomer, the CTO of Dominion, acknowledging that WinEDS is being used in their system. He swore up, down, and sideways since then, as is Dominion, and he's saying our good Dominion machines don't have any of that WinEDS package in them. Here's a guy, Edmundo Rojas. You look on his LinkedIn. He's at Dominion Voting Systems, but he's also under contract as a senior product specialist to Liberty Vote.
Yeah, so they're rebranded. Don't worry, Republicans own it now. Everything's fine.
But here's another Dominion voting guy, again, writing to Coomer, establishing VPN connection into the virtual machines today to reach the county's electronic voting machines. And on the next page, our tablet arrives in Shanghai Customs. We're waiting for clearance. So the tablets you're voting on are actually going through Shanghai Customs where China gets to edit them. This is all under what's Liberty Vote. Chinese-made equipment with Venezuelans who are all in our system, the Venezuelans here in the U.S. who are now working for Liberty Vote. You trace these Venezuelans back to the same university through Smartmatic and Sequoia, and now they're in different places running our elections in the United States.
The multinational corporate intelligence conglomerates.
Chinese, Iranian, Venezuelan, they're all in on it. It's one constellation of bad actors.
And it's the Democrats and the CIA, as you pointed out, contract people that hate us to do it, so they have plausible deniability. Oh, as they come in,
you get what's going on.
So they preload the results before they come in.
What they really do is when they set up a Dominion server for some county, they set up next to it a second machine. That is the WinEDS machine. They run the election on this machine. All this stuff gets in. And what they're not telling anyone is it goes from the Dominion machine to this EDS dirty machine and then gets reported into the election reporting system. So before the results go from the county to the legitimate election reporting system, they're run through this WinEDS dirty Venezuelan software. They and only they even know it exists.
Let's add some personality to this frog. Little red right here for some lipstick. Just a few gentle strokes. There we go. A perfect little touch.
Lord Vader, The rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to clip 50? Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and make the purchase now.
We've got another crazy situation developing. If you thought it couldn't get any worse, well, I've got bad news for you on multiple fronts. My name is Rex Jones. You're embattled to host for today on the AJN Live War Room. I want to remind you, share live links, share the feeds, share the transmission. You are the info war. This is an information operation. I need you to share the links and share the feed and go to the AlexJonesStore.com. But I'm here to talk to you today. I'm here to talk to you today about continued escalation. We're seeing continued escalation in Ukraine, continued escalation on the Iran front in the Iran war with Trump staging bombers. And it looks like, you know, Trump's kind of like a, you know, like a Team Rocket from Pokemon. You know, they blast off again. They threaten to come back. The markets are about to close. You know what day of the week it is? It's not Monday. It's not Tuesday. It's not hump day. It's not Wednesday. It's certainly not Thursday. It's Friday. And on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, Saturday morning, that's when Donald Trump attacks. So we've got reports about this pickaxe mountain, and the neocons are very excited about this. It's another one of those MacGuffin things. You know, a MacGuffin is a trope where in a movie, we got to find the magical item that the entire story revolves around. At first, that was killing the Ayatollah, of course, and the goal of regime change, which was never real. Of course, we couldn't make that happen, even though the Israelis fooled us into doing it. Then it became, Iran must never have the nuclear weapon. Iran must never have the nuclear weapon. And that's where we still are today. They want to distract you from the Strait of Hormuz and the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, because they know that if you know that Americans died for the Strait of Hormuz and not to prevent some magical Ayatollah space missile coming in and blowing up New York, then the American people would rise up and peacefully, politically, nonviolently overthrow the current system and get them all out. So I want to cover that. I want to go to clip three. I want to go to kind of the opposite of what I just said, because I just gave a bunch of reasons and justifications as to why the war is BS and garbage. Let's go to Ben Shapiro, the foreigner. And I know he's from here. I know he's a citizen technically, but he's a foreigner telling you why it's good to die.
I get why people are confused.
I get why they're confused.
It feels like things are stalemated, that they're getting broader and more difficult.
Pause. No, it don't, Migga. It feels like we're losing. It's not a stalemate. A stalemate implies we could do this for a long time. We spent over 55% of our interceptors within 39 days of the war. So just ridiculous lying already. Just keep lying him.
Why? Well, because what the American people want is victory. There's this bizarre notion in foreign policy that the American people are deeply worried about the immediate cost of war to the enemy.
The enemy.
That the American people, that we can't handle the ugliness of war for even a day.
Pause him. I know it's bad to pause. I know we just go mute or whatever, but every single word that comes out of his mouth, who is the enemy? Is the enemy the Iranian people? Because it sure seems like to you, the enemy is the Iranian people. The Iranian people aren't my enemy. The Iranian people never did anything to me. But oh, Ben Shapiro, you know, maybe your people did something. You know, that's kind of the more interesting question to ask. What about all these wars we fought? Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria. Not to mention numerous smaller conflicts, right? Yemen, places like that. He sits up there and he tells you that it's noble and an American value to die for his country, because he sees his country as our country, as being the owner of our country. It's our 51st state. I don't know how much better I can describe it than that. If you've ever seen the Hunger Games movies or read the books, you're aware of there's the districts, right, where the people slave away and farm and live under control. And then, of course, there's the capital, right? And the capital, they have all the resources. Everything's super important for them. And if you look at our situation, it's very much like that. We have over 300 million people in the United States of America. They have 9 million people in Israel. And every single war that we have fought in the Middle East has been at their beck and call, at their behest. It's been what they wanted. 7 countries in 5 years, the Wesley Clark plan. And what's the last country on that list? That would be Iran. So I want to go to this. I want to go to clip number 2 to contrast what Shapiro. Actually, no, we're going to stay on Shapiro, being a little ADD today. Keep playing him.
And here I'm not even talking about the American willingness to undergo casualties. No one in America wants American casualties. It's tragedy and horror.
Pause it. Again, this is the thing about people that lie. See, like, he'll say he's anti-war. I went off yesterday. I'm just going to do it again. I can't help it. The Quartering and Andrew Wilson both say they're anti-war, but they support the war. Ben Shapiro says, oh, I don't want Americans to die, but then he supports policies and wars that lead to more Americans' debt. Just because you say something as like an indemnification, as like a waiver for yourself to get away with it, doesn't make it so. And that's such a clear, transparent lie, but I want to break it down every 5 seconds for you because he's a fast-talking carpetbagger sleazebag. Keep playing him.
Has come along with casualties, and we are willing to undergo those casualties in pursuit of an end and a victory for America.
Pause it. Who's we? Who's we? Because when we ask who's they, we get in trouble. But who's we, Ben? You're not a part of my family, right? I heard Adam Sosnick put it this way. Well, America's like my mom, and Israel, I-Z-R-U-L, say it like a neocon, like you mean it. Israel is like my grandma. And of course, you know, if it's a life or death situation, I'm going to choose my mom over my grandma. That's what Adam Sosnick said. Of course, in any other scenario, like, I don't know, giving them a loaf of bread, you're going to give your mom half and your grandma half. You might even give your grandma more. And that's what dual loyalty is. And that's what Zionism is. Zionism is a political ideology that is married the ethnic portion of the Jewish people with the religious portion of the Jewish people. And it's that fusion together to say that our modern state is the same place that we had or didn't have 3,000 years ago. And if they can get you to accept that, they can get you to accept war, they can get you to accept genocide. It's like Scientology or Mormonism or something. You know, like, here's the thing. I get to have a space bride and a whole new planet that I create, or I get to battle Emperor Xenu after I clear all the thetans out of my body. It's the same type of stuff. I want to go to this. I know we got to play more of him because I know it's going to be gold. Keep playing him.
We can't hit Karg Island because the Iranian people would then be deprived of oil resources. The American people are, I should say, not particularly concerned about that.
Who do you speak for?
They're far more concerned with why we're there.
Who the hell is he now?
Not winning. I think that what we actually ought to do is say an eye for everything.
We say kill them.
You touch a ship in the Strait of Hormuz.
We say murder them all.
And we kill the head of the IRGC. We kill Khalibaf. We kill your entire leadership class. Again, we destroy.
Yeah, exactly. We did that. It didn't work.
One drone, and that's what happens.
One drone, that's what happens.
That's the way you win in the middle. By the way, that's the way you win generally.
He's 42. You go fight. It's completely outrageous. All these people that if you support war in Ukraine or war with Israel, I mean, go join the French Foreign Legion. Go get blown up by an FPV drone. What's going to happen? You're going to be in the trenches. You're going to be scared. You're going to hear, and it's going to come right in your eyes. And those blades are going to cut your corneas before it blows up in your face. That's your future. If you want to go do that, that's fine. But go practice what you preach. I'm anti-war. I want to be, you know, with the millionaire woman in a mansion. Like, that's just what I want, right? I'm allowed to want that, right? That is a lot more holy than wanting death in the Middle East, death in Russia. I truly do believe that. And to see him sit up there, the proud little scumbag that he is, Benny Shapiro, this is a guy that called for us to be deplatformed and banned. This is a guy that told Candace not to come on our show. This is a guy that's always had it out for us. And this is a person that ate our audience in 2017 after we were kicked off YouTube. That's really why I have such a big issue with Ben Shapiro. People like this were given to you as the only mainstream conservative option available. Think about how insane that is. He's not a conservative at all for this country. When it comes to Israel, I guess he's the ultimate conservative. He's literally sitting there and he should be wearing an IDF uniform, as my dad often says. Look at him. Wouldn't he look nicer in some fatigues, you know, holding a dead child's head or something? I think that would be more accurate to what he believes. I think he'd be happier that way. Because here's the thing. These people support apartheid, genocide, ethnic cleansing, and then just straight up murder. Let me give you an example. You just look this stuff up. You'll say, oh, it doesn't exist. It's all CGI. This is recognized. Okay. 13 Red Crescent workers. That's the Muslim equivalent to like our Red Cross, right? They're licensed. They're in an ambulance. They're wearing scrubs. They're on the way to a site. They have notified the people where they are going. The IDF murders them all, butchers them all, execution style, just guns them down. And they're wearing like nurse outfits in an ambulance. And the only reason why we know about it is because one of them recorded it on their phone before they died. And the video was released somehow. That's just one of like a trillion examples. And not just since October 7th, far before. They've been genociding these people since 1948, the Nakba. You know what that stands for? It means catastrophe. 750,000 of these people, after they invited them in after World War II, after they invited the Jews in after World War II, they then did a trail of tears on them with our support and our backing. Then shortly later, we gave them nuclear weapons. And then people get on me because I criticize my own country. Well, I want my country to be better. If you got a friend that has, you know, like a substance problem or something, you tell them to stop. You're like, hey, you know, that cocaine's going to kill you, right? You can't do that for another year. Like, you're already out on your feet as it is. And they go, all right, well, I'll stop. You don't say, oh, man, it's all fine, chill. Let me sell you some real quick. You don't do that. Not at least you care about the person. They don't care about anything. All they care about is their genocidal Greater Israel project. That's all that this is. And if on our side, as Americans, this is the sickest thing. Someone like Ben Shapiro, just show him again. He's actually doing his job and fulfilling his objective as a soldier of the IDF. Or Mossad or whatever. Like, salute Heil Hitler, whatever. He does a great job, right? Somebody like maybe a misfit patriot, for example. I heard him this morning say that God informs every decision that he makes. Well, if that's true, then why are you pro-war and pro-child murder? How can you say that? And that's, as an American, how can you say American dead, American casualties, American force lost, blood and treasure, whatever you want to call it, how can you say that's ever justified? Ben Shapiro can say it's justified because he doesn't care about us. He's not like us. They not like us. They not like us. But you, misfit patriot, what is your major malfunction, Private Pyle? What is your problem? And I want to just analyze this even more. You don't have to hear it just from me. I want to go into Colin Powell's chief of staff. This is an absolute legend. I'm a huge fan of this gentleman. I want to have him on the show as well. Let's go to clip number 2 from Colonel Larry Wilkerson, Lawrence Wilkerson.
History tends to rhyme. Are you seeing indications of this becoming a quagmire, or we're still far off from that? When I say quagmire, I mean a forever war, a deadly forever war with potentially thousands dead, potentially a ground operation, a worst case scenario. Is that possibility still on the table?
I see it having different wrinkles than you're describing, but similar disasters. I see Israel disappearing as a Jewish state. I see Netanyahu, like Ariel Sharon before him during my time, I see him being hounded out of office and essentially going to jail and dying in jail. They let Sharon, as I recall, they let him out of jail because he was dying of cancer. I think that's Netanyahu's fate. And I think the people who are coming in probably behind him to rule Israel, as it were, are going to be worse than Netanyahu. And I mean that in the sense that they're not as smart as he is, and therefore able to deal with the United States as artfully as he did. I hate it, but he did. And so they're going to be the regime, if you will, that takes Israel down. I don't mean that you couldn't have a democratic state in the Levant that would be there and would feature Jews in it, but I don't think you're going to have a Jewish state. I just think that's
How would that play out? Because it cannot be another foreign country enforcing that on Israel in any way. Israel's a nuclear
power. I like Mario, but sometimes he's retarded.
Strong military. So is it internal struggles that change Israel, the foundation of what Israel is?
I think what's going to change it is the next Iranian attack on it.
Yep.
It's going to be unbelievable. And I think we're going to bring it on because we are now clustering most of our assets, including our tankers, in Israel. Much to Netanyahu's, I think, fear that they will become a rich target for Iran and a target Iran simply cannot resist and will use Lebanon probably as an excuse to initiate, because we're putting all our eggs in one basket really right now.
Oh, yeah. and they haven't even used their latest missiles. They say they're using their next best ones in this wave of the attack. And like Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, he's been around the block. I played him yesterday with the quote of Donald Rumsfeld saying, I don't run my office, Mossad does. So this has been going on for a very long time. Only recently have we woken up to it, myself included. I didn't know about this. Kind of like a fish in water. You don't know what you're swimming in. But now I know. Now I'm aware because of what I've watched my government fund, my government do, and the promises that Donald Trump made that Donald Trump broke. Without those promises, we would never have known how truly sick, disgusting, and evil people like Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, Itamar Ben-Gvir, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel Katz, Bezalel Smotrich are. And we've never have known the control they had over our government until maybe it was perhaps too late. Now, I'm not trying to like white pill on that somehow, but I am telling you, with every cloud, this is just one of the laws of the universe, metaphysics. There's a silver lining. Phrases exist for a reason, right? And when you look at the situation we're in now, it's a big wake up call. It's like coming off drugs. You know, we had people like Biden, who of course we are awake to, but a lot of people were fooled by that. People like Obama, people like Bush, people like Clinton. As examples, right? And those people were able to make the American people feel all right. Hey, you know, I got to do the Bill Clinton. Let me find it. Let me find the Bill Clinton. I'll write down. I got it back. Hillary, here's the thing. When I bombed Yugoslavia for 73 days and killed all those people and those kids, you know, I did it because we couldn't get out of that situation. I had no recourse. I had to show that I was tough.
Right. So like war crimes are things that United States presidents do. But, you know, at least there was a veneer of, oh, we're doing it in our own interest. Now it's just public. Trump says he's going to be the next prime minister of Israel. Trump credits Miriam Adelson as, you know, being incredibly rich and basically buying the election, and then says, which do you like more, Israel or America? And laughs. And then she's smiling like Roz from Monsters, Inc. in the background. Like, it's all on tape. Rape on tape. You can watch the country be raped on tape. And like, there's so many countless examples that I'm getting distracted from my main point here, which is just that I need to stick with the rundown and give you guys the information that I had ready to present. I want to go into this now. I want to go into the Lego video, Marco Rubio. All right. They released one on him as well. I always say his ears are large enough to detect alien life. That should really be his job working with CERN or NASA. We should be trying to utilize the natural intelligence that we have, not just the artificial intelligence. And he's a super mutant. So let's go ahead and play from Mario Newfall. Let me find it on the clip list here. Marco Rubio's Lego video, clip number one.
Little Marco, Marco. Bark for your master. Netanyahu's good dog.
Uh-oh.
Tail wagging faster.
Marco, Marco.
Whole government is an Epstein regime. You're just a pedo projector.
Marco, Marco.
You bark on cue. Wow. Trump says jump, you ask a high boss who.
Woof, woof. Used to diss Trump hard. Called him a con and a liar.
Flip flopper. Now you kiss the ring and call it empire. 2016, you said the man ain't fit. Now you carry his bag. That's it. Trump keeps you close enough to use. Far enough, he never lose. You see it yet? Secretary of State, but they kick you off the call. Ro finds out from CNN like the rest of y'all. You looked America dead in the face. Promised oversight, promised grace. But Epstein's files stay sealed. The donors stay in place. Funny how that worked. Taking U.S. tax dollars just to fund the genocide. Lovey checks inside your pocket, you can't run and hide. Whole planet hating BB for the slaughter in the graves. While he bragging, now he's backing what the U.S. workers say. Little Marco, Marco. Bark for your master. Netanyahu's good dog. Tail wagging faster. Marco, Marco.
All right, we've had enough of that. All right, so that's their propaganda. Let's have a little Pokemon battle here. I want to go into clip number six. Let's watch Jesse Waters, because the Iranians, the Ayatollah is like, I choose you, Lego video. And then we're like, I choose you, Jesse Waters. So let's go ahead and play clip number six.
Fox News alert, bombs away.
Explosion, fire, murder, all for the boomers' entertainment.
Central Command delivering devastating blows against Iran. Targets include missile and drone facilities, coastal surveillance sites, and air defense. B-1 bombers tore into the mullahs.
Whoa, buddy! There's nothing I could pause on the Iranian video because it was all mostly true, especially with Marco Rubio being Netanyahu's dog.
He just said we blew up air defense. I thought we destroyed all the air defense months ago. Whoa, Mega chill. Mega, you're being too real right now. I'm sorry. I got to be real. I'll continue. Okay. Over 40 aircraft lost, right? And they say they have no air defense. So keep playing it.
First time since the ceasefire. The long-range jets packed with 2,000-pound bombs flying at the speed of sound. Our electronic warfare aircraft also headed into theater, deployed out of Maine. They're stopping over in the UK. Now it jams enemy communications, radars, and navigation. And they're only in the fight when it's a real one. Once Iran caught wind, they threatened to bomb the British base. Good luck. Our F-16 Wild Weasels are back in action. Their motto, first in, last out. You fly into enemy territory, detect radars, destroy them, and clear the battle space for everybody else. Trump wants revenge.
It's that old George Carlin bit of they're in love with the bombs and the missile because it's shaped like a dong. And that's all 100% true. And he's like, we got our planes in the air. They'll be foolish to try that. They'll be foolish to try to hit that British base. What do you mean? They're just going to launch a missile at it. They have maybe we have decimated them. Maybe we've destroyed 10% of what they have. Keep playing it.
Karachi, their foreign minister, who the other day say or something about their policies, an eye for an eye. The president's policy is a head for an eye.
Ooh.
I mean, honestly, that's what it's going to be. I mean, they will pay a very heavy price.
Oh, okay. So we kill their pope. We blow up their cities. We hit their bases over and over and over again. Thousands of attacks. What can we do now? Hundreds of days almost into the war. We're over 100 days into the war already. But what can we do now that we couldn't do back then initially? And this is the real fear. And I'm going to have top geopolitical strategist, analyst, writer Brandon Weikert on at the start of the next hour to discuss this. This is why I reference Pickaxe Mountain, because we hear these neocon boomers on Fox News, you know, talking about tactical nuclear weapons and talking about, you know, like the Top Gun movie mixed with blowing up the Death Star, how we gotta drop the bunker buster down, and then we drop the tactical nuke down underneath. The base is a mile underground, inside of a granite mountain. And there may not even be a base, so they may blow it up just as a way to get out of the war. And you could say, well, maybe that's good. I disagree, because they're going to use a nuclear weapon to do it. They already used the bunker busters before. Remember that? Remember something called Operation Midnight Hammer? Right? I thought they were completely obliterated. But oh wait, it's not Fordo, Esfahan, and Detonsk that are the problem. Now it's the rest of the country. Now it's the rest of Iran. They're developing nuclear weapons everywhere. That HUD over there, they're developing nuclear weapons. That power plant, they're developing nuclear weapons. That bridge is developing nuclear weapons. These things, like a bridge, would only be a legitimate target if we were involved in a full ground invasion right now and they were moving troops and staging vehicles over it. Then it would become permissible to hit under the rules of war. It is a war crime. We have committed dozens, if not hundreds, of war crimes with these strikes. Keep playing it.
Their knees and begging anybody with a pulse to bail them out.
I hope that they'll stop. They shouldn't really do that. They got suckered into this by the Iranians. You know, the Houthis largely were smart and stayed out of
Pause
all this.
Pause it. Okay, we're coming out to a break here. I want to remind you, we lost a war to the Houthi. Remember, we had a ship, aircraft carrier, that due to the motion of the ocean, this is not a joke, an F-16 just went over the side, ended up at the bottom of the Red Sea. Remember that? Now, the Houthis claim that we had to take emergency evasive action. And that's their story to that. So who do you believe more? The people that are losing this war or the people that are winning? And who are those people? Ask yourself that question. I'll be right back.
I'm extremely excited about this. You know, we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. So the very same great manufacturer that made this made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market, and even better than powder because there's even better absorption, ultimate turmeric, and it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known to supercharge turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this is works better than Advil. And you know, including family I've had, that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I got to take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these. And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This raw turmeric's 4 to 5% curcuminoid. 95. Okay? So we're very excited about this tincture. Just a half dropper a day. So good for your whole body. 95% curcuminoids. The liquid is better absorption. And this is 60 servings per bottle, so 2 month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. You lock in at 50% off. It's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexjonesstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, Zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, an amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy, turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free, gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only. No additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins that are about to sell out, the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all future orders of that product as long as you stay subscribed. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Welcome back to the program. We got top geopolitical strategist, writer, expert, analyst, Brandon Weikert joining us here in the second hour in under 30 minutes. Super exciting. You want to be here for that. We're going to round up this discussion on the Houthi. I want to show this Joe Kent tweet talking about what I was just discussing about the Bab el-Mandeb. We'll go ahead and display that when we can. And I've also got a reaction from the mother of the U.S. soldier, Angel, killed. A year ago, this is from Joe Kent, we were unable to militarily defeat the Houthi. Two major factors came into play. Issue number one is finite and is the reason no one has been able to beat the Houthi. Issue number two is now worsened and is the result of our lack of strategy in Iran. Issue number one, geography and terrain. Northwestern Yemen is incredibly mountainous terrain with peaks and valleys that run parallel to the Bab el-Mandeb Strait and the Red Sea, a critical but very narrow passageway. This combination gives the Houthis a tactical advantage. By positioning themselves on higher ground, they're able to easily fire down into the Red Sea and monitor and defend their airspace. In the valleys, they're able to disperse their missiles and drones and other critical military equipment, hiding it in caves and tunnel systems capable of withstanding our bombs. Issue number two, the Houthis' willingness to negotiate. Our military campaign, that war we lost that I'm talking about, ended with the Houthis agreeing to reopen the Bab el-Mandeb Strait to U.S. shipping only once we stopped the military action, the war. It's called the conditional surrender on our part. The Houthis proved to be durable under the weight of both U.S. and Israeli bombardment, and that was when they were the U.S.'s only target. Now the Houthis know we are spread thin and will use this as leverage. Absolutely. This time around, they've got the energy crisis working in their favor, and they can use it to double the pressure on us via the Bab al-Mandeb. It should not be ignored, like the Iranians and the rest of Axis of the Resistance. The Houthi have been galvanized by the killings of the killing of the Supreme Leader's family due to his religious and cultural significance. It's like killing the Pope. We killed the Pope. I'm just going to keep saying it. We murdered the Pope. This galvanization makes a pragmatic deal like the one we cut in 2025 far less likely. I will keep saying it. This is my position too. Declare victory, go home, pull out our troops, walk away, and use economic diplomacy to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and Bab al-Mandeb. This is Trump. A year ago, the United States of America attacked very powerfully the Houthi for their interference with commerce and trade by shooting at ships. Since that time and during our conflict with Iran, they have acted very responsibly. See how afraid we are of them? Like, he's cucking to them. That's crazy. Unfortunately, now they are starting up again, shooting at two Saudi Arabian ships last night. Please let this truth, man, what a psyop, serve to represent that if they do this again, the U.S. will hold Iran responsible, and that the Houthis are a surrogate and proxy of Iran, and major military punishment will be inflicted upon Iran, and of course the Houthis themselves, who I am very disappointed. I am very disappointed with in that they have until now acted very professionally and smart. He's terrified. That's crazy. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President DJT. So we can't win that war. We already lost that war, and now it's erupting again because that axis of resistance that Joe Kent talked about is very active. Are you talking about Iran? Talking about Yemen, talking about Lebanon, talking about Palestine, Gaza. I mean, here's the thing. If 3 years of carpet bombing Gaza doesn't work, if throwing all the U.S. munitions and Israeli munitions in the world at Iran during both the 12-day war and 39-day war doesn't work, if we can't, you know, obliterate them, if we can't destroy their military, if we're always saying that we've gotten rid of their air defense and they shoot more of our planes down, what are we supposed to do? And people like Ben Shapiro openly advocate for ground invasion. People like Mark Levin openly advocate for the nuke to be used. I mean, much less Jonathan Pollard, Itamar Ben-Gvir, and Smotrich themselves, right? But I want to show this video. This is really tragic. And like, this is a mother of a U.S. soldier, Angel Rampersand, who was killed. Incredibly tragic. But your daughter was murdered by the president. So I want to play this video.
Thank you all for coming. Good soldier. She fought for this country and she died for this country. And I am a mother that's highly proud of her.
Yeah.
And I know she was really, really focused on what she was doing. She loved it. No comments. Thank you for coming.
Well, she did die for this country because Israel is a part of this country and it's our capital. So she died defending our capital city. You know, Israel. And it's tragic. That's why we need to secede. That's why we need BDS, boycott, divest, and sanction. And that's why we don't need them in our military in ascendancy, Section 219, Section 612, NDAA. They're merging with our CIA and merging with our military. They get an executive agent. This is somebody above every single other person at DOD besides Secretary of War Pete Hegseth and the President Donald Trump. They don't answer to Congress. They're to be in ascendancy. That was the original language of the NDAA when it was Section 224. And they say, oh, come on. It's just a few, 10 million, 100 million here for all these programs. We just need help fighting in tunnels and stuff, guys. Just help with the missile interceptors. It's not about that. It's like you're getting someone that's like, hey, I'll help you pay for this car, but then I own this vehicle now. I'm going to help you with your car payment, but I own your vehicle now. And they go crash it or use it to mow down a bunch of people. And then you're responsible. That's basically where we are. So what was that thing I said I wanted to? Okay. Just to tie into this, tie into who we're really fighting for, who her daughter really died for. I want to show this. This is the settlers. All right. The settlers are the most radical people in Israel. These are people that believe that they are the same nation as 3,000 years ago and that they have a divine right to take the Palestinians' land. They consider the Palestinians to be Amalek. They think that they are subhuman and to be exterminated because that's what it says in the Torah. That is what Netanyahu has said. That is what Ben-Gvir has said. That's not just me saying it. All right, that's not a... It's a blood libel. It's an anti-Semitism. Here's what happens. These armed settlers go into the West Bank and they, you know, it's like extortion. We're going to make it a donation. Hey, give me your land or I'll kill you. Give me your wife or I'll kill you. You know, take her clothes off right now or I'll shoot you in the head. Oh, no. It's consensual. That's the same exact thing. That's the same exact thing going on. Look at them. Look, it's a raid. It's colonization. And I want you to remember, because we've gotten it twisted here in America. We think we're proud to be an empire or something. We rebelled against the British Empire. We're an anti-colonial nation. We're supposed to care about our hemisphere, not thousands of miles away. And the whole reason we're constantly in these wars, the whole reason why the nation is in debt, bankrupt, drugged up, abused, is because we have to project this force that's unnatural thousands of miles away. It just doesn't make sense. I don't advocate for any violence. I just say, hey, why are we giving them money? Why are we giving them the military? Why do we sell them weapons when they kill little kids? You know, I mean, you can look around and say, oh, it's kind of like Ukraine, right? And they're kind of tied together. Remember, you can say, oh, it doesn't make sense way back to Ukraine in this war. Well, it sure helped Assad fall, right? It sure helped us take Syria and install our ISIS puppet, al-Shara, formerly al-Julani, a man who's literally held other people's heads in his hands, the heads of children that have refused to convert to his radical form of Sunni Islam. Think about that. Trump sprays that guy with perfume at the White House and compliments him on his masculine vigor. I'm not making it up. Just show more of the settlers. Show more of what these four soldiers died for. The soldiers' names are Tyler, Angel, Sarah, and Michael. And those are just the ones that we know about. We don't know any of these people's names. You know, they're receiving American tax dollars to do this, by the way. You know, they run ads of like, I am a 95-year-old Holocaust survivor and I need money. And they play that on Fox News. And then retarded boomers send them money. And it literally goes to buy weapons and to buy trucks to get these people to take Palestinian land. Look at this. And this is all in response to apparently the killing of four Palestinians and one Israeli, an armed Israeli settler, and then the Palestinian apparently murdered him. I'm sure the Israeli armed settler wasn't trying to take his land or anything. We've never seen that happen before. They burned the olive trees. And this is just an example that it's not even just taking the land. It's about erasing, dehumanizing, and degrading the people there, because if you actually cared, you would take all the stuff for yourself. They erase them. I mean, think about that. You want your tax dollars going to that guy? You think he deserves more money than you? You know how much it would cost to get free child care? I don't want free child care. How much? You want $5,000 a year for free homeschool? Let me tell you how much that costs. $140 billion a year. You know how much we spent on this war already? Over $200 billion. If you take radar, bases, munitions deployed, missile defense deployed, combined with the $113 billion price tag, according to the debt clock for the initial 39 days of the war, this is going to be a $500 billion or $1 trillion conflict by the time it's done. It's already that if you look at the global economic ramifications. So, do you want to be a chudlet? Do you want to be, I'm proud. No one ever going to get paid off of me. I'm never going to pay for anybody's EBT. You want to be that as your schlep walk off to the FEMA camp? Yeah, go right ahead, but we're not in that boat. We actually care about our fellow citizens, our fellow people. And in the greatest nation in the world, you should be able to afford to live, afford to eat, afford to go to the doctor, afford to go to the school. Why are we proud of our chains? As John Adams said, may your chains sit lightly upon you. Lick the hand that feeds. That's where we are. Not in my backyard. They're not getting anything free from me. Hell yeah, spend $1 trillion to bomb Iran. Screw my wife. Like that's literally what you are if you're a Fox News watcher and you support this stuff. Show more of the settlers. Show this guy. Just show his face again. Do you want your money going to this individual to shoot a Palestinian in the head? Do you want, throw him up there again. Seriously. And they all look crazed. Look at Ben Gavir. My dad says it all the time. He's got vampire teeth. Vampire teeth. Look at this guy. Oh, hey, you know, short-term pain for long-term, this guy's gain, right? You ready for that? You ready for that? That feel good, right? Oh, damn it. Okay. All right. So I think that was the guy that was killed, but here's the thing. He was killed. He killed the Palestinians. Like, four Palestinians were killed. He died, apparently, to defend himself, which I don't believe. I don't believe these settlers are defending themselves when they gun down innocent Palestinians. So go ahead and show more of the footage of them surging. Go ahead and show more footage of them surging, if you would. This is par for the course, and these are the same people that went into the Al-Aqsa Mosque to take it over. They said that they were looking for weapons. Of course, that's probably not true. They're looking for ways to excuse taking it over and eventually blowing it up, because they have to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque in order to establish the Third Temple, sacrifice the red heifer, and then truly have their Messiah return. So that's what they're out there doing. They're waiting for that Messiah. You know, it's Antichrist and all of that. But go ahead, let's go to clip number 9 in reference to this Tucker on U.S. politics and the money. Clip number 9.
Done that he will never be impeached for because Democrats support it. both parties supported regime change in Iran because both parties have the same paymasters and the same donors who are demanding loyalty to a foreign country. The same AIPAC donations that, like, think like 90% of the entire Congress takes money from a foreign lobby, unregistered foreign lobby. That's bonkers. If this were Liechtenstein or Congo bribing 90% of our lawmakers to toe the Liechtenstein or Congo line, I'd be totally opposed to it. It doesn't make me anti-Congolese or anti-Liechtensteinian. I'm not a racist for thinking that. I'm an American who wants my lawmakers to vote on behalf of my country. Like, it's that simple. It's literally that simple. And every
Yeah, like, why do you have to know about Strait of Hormuz? Why do you have to know about Bab el-Mandeb? Why do you have to know about Al-Aqsa Mosque? Why do you have to know about the West Bank? Why do you have to know about Lebanon, Hezbollah? Hezbollah! I was watching Mark Levin clips last night, you know. Damn it, I forgot to put those in the rundown. But, like, you shouldn't have to know about these things as an American. We should live in basically infinite wealth, freedom, and prosperity, and we should be exporting that throughout the world, actually exporting our values instead of exporting our missiles. Now, wouldn't that be cool? You know, we have all this talk on the right all the time about Europe is under attack. Europe is under attack. The UK, we got the insane people running around with knives, ceremonial daggers. And then if you're British, you can't carry a knife yourself. They stab you. They say that you're racist. And then you die. And then the cops put you in cuffs, basically. But here's the thing. I'm somebody that actually cares about that. So let me give you a solution to the problem. You know what the solution is? How about we blockade them? How we sanction them? How we take weapons away from them? How we threaten to bomb them? You know, because they're depriving their people of free speech. They're depriving their people of rights that we have that they do not have. If the Ayatollah is so evil for running around and bonking women on the head with a club, which I don't believe, by the way, you can look at his tweets. You can look, this guy was a moderate. He banned the nuclear weapon. We killed the guy that banned the nuke. Like, I digress, but you think about the situation. I don't believe that that's true. How is it any more reasonable for us to say, oh, we're just going to kill everybody? Like, is that also not a religious belief, a religious decree, a theocratic mission in service of them? You shouldn't have to know about any of this stuff. We shouldn't be a theocracy. We should be a constitutional republic. We should be exporting our values across the world. And when it comes to a place like the EU, the UK, they're far more oppressive than the Ayatollah, far more oppressive to the native population. They import people to take over the country to become a new third world underclass. Right? Doesn't even speak the language and doesn't know the laws, doesn't know what they've lost. Right? And it's still a better deal compared to their home country, which is a third world hellhole. Right? So you look at that deal and you say, huh, wouldn't it have been nice to help our Western brothers and sisters get their freedom back instead of killing Persian people thousands of miles away for no reason? We can't even change our government. All for Israel somehow? A nation of 9 million people that somehow, if they don't do well, then like we're going to end. It's like they don't make food. They make, I guess, military technology, things to blackmail and spy on all of us with, right? Isn't that fun? Liberal, 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 cute, cute, cute. They make stuff like that. But as far as our national survival, we don't get our cars from them, right? We don't get our planes from them. We don't get our weapons from them. Any weapons we get from them is stuff that they've stolen. They sell our military technology all the time, all the time. And other nations do this too, but they do it a lot. And then they go, we're your greatest ally, please. Please, how about we stop getting bent over a barrel and raped? How about that? How about we do what Joe Kent says and declare victory and go home? Look how smart that is. He's a genius for that. It's just, when I say it, it's very simple, right? And genius is found in simplicity. You should be able to tell me your solution in three sentences, and then I'll believe you. Anyone that needs, well, actually, yeah, that's a liar, right? Someone that just, here's how you do it. Declare victory and go home. If we leave and they keep the strait closed, then everybody hates them. So why would they keep the strait closed? And they've said, if you leave, we'll open the strait. We don't need these military bases. All the people that have died, and Ted Lieu said it was over 500 injured, right? But I'm sure it's a lot more dead, a lot more injured even than that. These people in these metal sheds, metal buildings, they don't have air defense. They're not fighting Iran. They're not doing anything. They're literally sitting ducks waiting there to get murdered as a pretext for us to do full ground invasion. Because if enough Americans die, then he can do the nationalistic psyop and convince Americans that more of us need to die in order to avenge them. Or more Iranians need to get nuked or whatever. Because, you know, collective punishment justifies the means and justifies the means. It never does. Like, we know this. Like, these are spiritual concepts, not just physical concepts. You can't do stuff like this forever. You can't get away with it. There's a karmic debt involved. And when you're building crocodile pits, when the settlers are surging the West Bank, killing the Palestinians, taking the land, when you're saying you're going to burn all of Lebanon, when you're saying all the Middle East belongs to us, and that's not just Lebanon, that's not just Gaza, we're talking about parts of Saudi Arabia, talking about Egypt, talking about Jordan, talking about Iraq, talking about Iran. They want it all. They want everything. And I went over this with Joe Kent, Anthony Aguilar specifically. The Israelis are actually relatively close to establishing their goal. What they have to do is cut two corridor logistics pathways, okay? They've got to cut one between, if I'm getting it right, Lebanon and Syria, right? And they're working with Al Julani, the Golan Heights and all of that. That's that buffer zone they're trying to get in South Lebanon as well, the Litani River. And then, oh, we're going to cut Iraq, Iran, and we're going to get the Kurdish people involved, find all these other separatist groups, and we're going to kind of build that coalition of the willing, the moderate rebels, the jihadis, right? Because that's what we do. Whenever you think of like a crazy, like guy, whenever you think of that, that's a guy that was trained in a Saudi Arabian CIA school with stuff that we cooked up. The Iranian brand of Islam is literally all about martyrdom and sacrifice, and they view all the other ones as traitors who betrayed them. Okay, so they're not friends with the Middle East, and if they blow up the Middle East in retaliation because they see them as vassal states, which they are, the entire world is over. We've covered it with Michael Yon, covered it with Mike Adams, covered it with my dad, Harrison Smith. Everyone has been talking about this since this began, even far before. You go rewatch me on American Journal back in the day, right? And you'll see us talking about this. The global economic fallout hasn't even begun. And it's a new COVID, and it's a COVID completely of choice. It's a COVID of choice. Trump did it twice. Congratulations. The father of warp speed, the father of the vaccine, the father of the Iran war, the continuer of the adopter of the Ukraine war. That's even more disturbing. That's even more disturbing because little Zelensky literally can't do jack shit. He can't do jack squat. He can't do anything over there. Russia's a nuclear power. They're firing long-range missiles into Russia over and over and over and over again. Imagine if the Russians or the Chinese gave nuclear weapons, or not nuclear weapons, if they gave long-range ballistic missiles to Mexico and they started blowing up oil refineries in Galveston. Imagine what would happen. Mexico wouldn't exist anymore. Like, it would go for a siesta forever. It would be bombed into true oblivion. It would never return. Of course, we treat any country like that did anything to us. And of course, that's why Trump has said, even though it's illegal, it's not the way it would work. J.D. Vance would instantly become president and we get all the power. He's implied that he's left a dead man switch to destroy Iran should he be killed, which is just like, cui bono, Donald Trump, retard in chief, RIC or POTUS, potato of the United States. Who benefits if you die? And that means Iran gets nuked. Who wants Iran to get nuked? Who wants Iran to get obliterated? Who wants regime change? Would that be the American people or would that be the Israelis and Benjamin Netanyahu? So he's like putting a neon sign on his head being like, please, please murder me. You have to do it. Please, just anything that'll mean the nuclear bomb gets used and I'll be over. That's literally what he's calling for. And I want Donald Trump to live a long life. I want him to be charged and convicted of the war crimes and treason that he's committed against this country. And that's all on the record and true, right? But the Israelis are the number one group that have the incentive to take them out. And think about that old Latin question, cui bono, who benefits? It's certainly not the Iranians, right? And that's the whole thing about the nuclear weapon. Iran has engaged in genius strategy by being now a threshold nuclear state with the enriched uranium. They're not breaching that threshold yet, and the fatwa, the religious order, is still in effect. But if they were to truly develop a nuclear weapon or have it ready in the final stages, they're getting obliterated. It's over. It's gone. They're done. But if they maintain that position and focus on dragging the United States into a larger conflict, a larger war, more of these parties get involved, like the Houthi, like Hezbollah, like separatist groups in Iraq, there's everywhere. Like this entire, it's like a giant box of scorpions. If the Iranians are able to get us to bleed out more and more and more, they know it will cost too much political capital, not just here, but in Israel as well, to completely destroy them. I think they're very, very aware of that. So I'm going to discuss that and more with Brandon Weikert coming up. I do want to plug thealexjonesstore.com. I'm a supplement formulator. I've been making supplements since I was like 10 years old. I've got two amazing ones for you, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. I made these specifically to be taken in concert with Methylene Blue. How does it work? Let's do a little quick Methylene Blue rundown. Methylene Blue, small molecule, nitrogen, 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 sulfur, chlorine, chlorine group. That's what makes it a medical dye, gives it that beautiful blue hue, color. The sulfur group donates a mitochondria to your donates an electron to your mitochondrial process, speeding you up through the Krebs cycle from stage one to stage four oxidative phosphorylation. Super powerful antioxidant. That's what that means. Incredibly potent. Also has nootropic effects, dopaminergic effects in the brain. Just look it up. PubMed, Google Scholar, do the AI research, go to a library, read a book. This is one of the oldest synthetics ever around. We have it available at thealexjonesstore.com. And when taken in concert with something like Methyl Drive, which has, if you remember from the classic ads, the CoQ10, the PQQ, the CoQ10, the PQQ. It's got those classic ingredients to increase mitochondrial biogenesis. The PQQ does that. It's got a crazy name. I can't exactly pronounce it. Quinolone something something or whatever. It does that by making the mitochondria, when they're healthy, split. And when they're damaged, what happens is a damaged mitochondria will fuse with a healthy mitochondria. And because the mitochondria has its own DNA, you then get a new, healthier mitochondria out of that equation. So that's all in Methyl Drive, Power Plants, got the cordyceps mushroom for exercise performance, got the rhodiola for mental performance, kind of that mental, physical 1-2 punch. It'll make your exercise feel amazing, okay? Doing more exercise will raise your testosterone if you're deficient in these minerals as well. I've got zinc and boron available in the Power Plant combined with the selenium. That's a 1-2-3 punch. That's a jab across at a left hook straight in your face for testosterone and raising that. You want to get the Power Drive bundle. I can't sell it any better than I just did. I really would recommend signing up and saving. It's going to change your life. It's going to be incredible. I'm going to tell you again, Power Plant, cordyceps, rhodiola rosea, zinc, boron, selenium, black pepper, ultimate methyl drive. It's got the magnesium to support over 300 enzymatic processes throughout the body. It's got the methylated vitamin B12 that you all love so much. It's got the CoQ10, the PQQ, and it's got the methylene blue. That's the Power Drive bundle from thealexjonesstore.com. I'm going to plug myself here as well. Rex Jones News on Twitter. Rex Jones News on Instagram. New American Journal in the morning. Follow the Rumble. Also got Gray Area Talks, the marquee evening show. Catch me this Sunday. Going to have a phenomenal guest, 7:30, 10:30 p.m. I am live every single morning. But this coming up week, I would be hosting the Alex Jones Show some of these days. So I'm not sure exactly when that will be. I'm going to talk to Scott, Daria, and Matt a little bit more about that and figure it out. But I'm going to be in studio here for the morning. So if you've been catching me on the morning show, if you're watching me right now, it's going to be a little bit different next week. I'm going to have my buddy Jack host for me. So the network will continue. You can watch that show in the morning and then come on here. You'll see me host the Alex Jones Show next week. I got Brandon Weichert joining me. Stay tuned, stay updated, stay aware, stay alert, and stay in the fight, the info war. I'll see you soon.
A massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. Methylene Red capsules. This is a proprietary product. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots. All 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxifying, go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate chill, and a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776 in muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexjonesstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer-like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery T-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery T-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. They've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I wanted to give big updates on Trump's speech last week about communist China that you and I have been detailing for years. The documents have come out, but even more, you have federal court documents that they've told you not to release, but you're going to do that.
There's a dirty Venezuelan software package that lets you steal elections. It was in Smartmatic, where it was called SAES, Smartmatic Automated Election System. They bought an American company called Sequoia, and they put it inside Sequoia, where it was called WinEDS. That dirty package got shifted, and it's actually inside Dominion. They call their system Democracy Suite. They've been denying like hell that they have WinEDS. I'm going to prove to you that it is in their system. What's happened now is Liberty has come along. Actually, Liberty is just a new name on Dominion. It's the same corporation. So that dirty package is still inside. Trump released this last Thursday night, the CIA document, summary of their own intelligence reporting, 04 to 20. Document 2, they talk about how they have had persistent concerns that Venezuela was developing systems to cheat elections. Well, they did, in fact, develop that software, and it was the WinEDS that I just walked you through. They are acknowledging that, yes, Venezuela developed this, and they've been stealing or trying to steal their own elections with it. Let's go to an internal Dominion email, which I'm not supposed to show anyone. This is from 2011. A guy named Craig Short, contractor for Dominion, is talking to Sherry Hadsky. You're going to see in a moment. She's the secretary with the Secretary of State of Louisiana. This is all about the WinEDS upgrade. Now, remember, you're going to see Dominion's come out and say, we don't have WinEDS. No, we never do. That's all some junk from the past. But meanwhile, their internal emails, they're talking about upgrading their system. She says, hey, confidentially, if Democracy Suites, if this runs on Windows 7 and this WinEDS runs on Windows 2003, don't we need two servers? So she knew, and Dominion knew, that they were in fact still using WinEDS. And the guy confirms, yes, that we're going to need two servers. This is an email from Eric Coomer in 2020. He's running the elections in Chicago. He's writing a guy, Goran Obradovic, who's in Serbia. They're talking about setting up servers to process ballots as they come in. So this is a few days before the election. He says, 30 minutes, 12,000 ballots. We may have some timing problems. We can set up the cartridges to load overnight as they come in scare quotes, and then as they come in, meaning we're going to be uploading them, but pretending that these are ballots coming in from the field. We can then load them into the WinEDS. So here's Eric Coomer, the CTO of Dominion, acknowledging that WinEDS is being used in their system. He swore up, down, and sideways since then, as is Dominion, and he's saying our good Dominion machines don't have any of that WinEDS package in them. Here's a guy, Edmundo Rojas. You look on his LinkedIn. He's at Dominion Voting Systems, but he's also under contract as a senior product specialist to Liberty Vote.
Yeah, so they're rebranded. Don't worry, Republicans own it now. Everything's fine.
But here's another Dominion voting guy, again, writing to Coomer, establishing VPN connection into the virtual machines today to reach the county's electronic voting machines. And on the next page, our tablet arrives in Shanghai Customs. We're waiting for clearance. So the tablets you're voting on are actually going through Shanghai Customs, where China gets to edit them. This is all under what's Liberty Vote. Chinese-made equipment with Venezuelans who are all in our system, the Venezuelans here in the U.S. who are now working for Liberty Vote. You trace these Venezuelans back to the same university through Smartmatic and Sequoia, and now they're in different places running our elections in the United States.
The multinational corporate intelligence conglomerates.
Chinese, Iranian, Venezuelan, they're all in on it. It's one constellation of bad actors.
And it's the Democrats and the CIA, as you pointed out, contract people that hate us to do it, so they have plausible deniability. Oh, as they come in,
you get what's going on.
So they preload the results before they come in.
What they really do is when they set up a Dominion server for some county, they set up next to it a second machine. That is the WinEDS machine. They run the election on this machine. All this stuff gets in. And what they're not telling anyone is it goes from the Dominion machine to this EDS dirty machine and then gets reported into the election reporting system. So before the results go from the county to the legitimate election reporting system, they're run through this WinEDS dirty Venezuelan software. They and only they even know it exists.
Let's add some personality to this frog. Little red right here for some lipstick. Just a few gentle strokes. There we go. A perfect little touch.
Specimens have been specifically calibrated for the spread of Alpha Gal, a permanent curse on those who feast on the flesh of mammals. Real meat is finished. My ticks and mosquitoes will make sure of it. Eat the synthetic slop or starve.
Looks tasty, doesn't it?
I'm now being joined by top geopolitical analyst, strategist, and writer Brandon Weikert of 1945.com. He's also written numerous articles. Really appreciate his outlook and all the media he's been doing lately. I want to ask him a variety of questions pertaining to the Iran war, the Ukrainian conflict, the Caspian Sea, and so much more. Thank you, Brandon Weikert, for joining me on this live.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
100%. I really enjoyed our morning show that we did on New American Journal. I wanted to follow up with you.
Yeah, that was fun.
Indeed. Indeed. So, something I've been following, something you've been following as well, we're talking about it on the break, is the whole idea of Pickaxe Mountain and this kind of like magical MacGuffin. And like, we know Trump likes MacGuffins. The whole idea of like during the 12-day war with Operation Midnight Hammer, obliterating the nuclear facilities, you can see how that was sold to him, right? It just, you can kind of connect the dots. It's not a complicated picture. Mm-hmm. What do people need to know about Pickaxe Mountain? What is it? And as the markets close, and as UNC inches closer towards, issuing the orders to launch, what's going on?
Yeah, I think that's very key to remember. And I know that we all have been monitoring this, but you do kind of become numb to it. This war has really been, more than any other war, dictated to by market cycles. I've never seen anything like this before. You're right to point out we're at the close of market. So probably the next 24 hours, something's going to heat up. Pickaxe Mountain is, first of all, its importance is overstated. It's a typical Trump war plan. They're really selling you on a target. They're fixating on this one thing. It's got a great name, Pickaxe Mountain, and it's, it's sort of like the Death Star,
Right.
We're going to go in there and not, that's really what it is. This is like a Hollywood,
Hold on really quick, because that's what they say, like the Fox News people are like, we're going to drop the bunker buster, and then we're going to drop the tactical nuke. And you're like, how many Top Gun movies, how many times you rewatch that?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, this is like straight out of a Hollywood script. The difference is they're billing this as the Death Star. This isn't the Death Star, though. This is not the center of gravity for the Iranian regime. If you really want to, quote unquote, win, and I'm not advocating we do this, you've got to focus on either knocking out the regime or reopening the Strait of Hormuz.
Right.
And these are two things. The president, I think, wants to do those two things, but the president also understands we can't do those two things. It's been demonstrated now repeatedly. So he's looking for some other symbol, a symbolic target. And so Pickaxe is it. Pickaxe is a massive new facility. They started building it in 2020. It's about a kilometer or so away from Natanz, which is the other major nuclear weapons development site. It's under Granite Mountains. It's in the Zagros Mountain chain. And it basically is supposed to be like the next level of Iranian nuclear weapons facility. And the goal with the facility, once it's completed, and it's not yet my understanding, every expert I've talked to, and I've been talking to a lot of them on this specific issue,
okay,
every expert I've spoken to has said it's not complete and it's not fully operational as a result. So I guess this is more like the Death Star and Return of the Jedi. And they're going to try to.
Right, right. I got that.
I can just nerd out here for a minute.
No, do we love doing that here? We love it.
Yeah, so. I know. Oh, I know. So that's how the president is viewing this. And so the idea is we'll go in late at night. Nobody's really going to be there. It's going to be sort of, they've stored supposedly the blessed nuclear dust and it's buried underground. And so, And so we're going to go in with the B-2 and we'll do what we did last year, basically on a grander scale. Here's the problem. This facility, even though it's not yet fully complete, this facility is far harder to get to with our conventional, even the GBU-57, the Massive Ordnance Penetrator, which is the biggest non-nuclear conventional bomb that we have in the arsenal. Those were the bombs that we dropped last year and everybody made big hoopla about. But even those bombs did not obliterate the previous targets that President Trump said that they obliterated. We did not obliterate them. We damaged the outside. We collapsed some tunnels on the top. We collapsed the entryway. But those GBU-57s, as impressive from a technical standpoint as those drops were, and they were, they did not obliterate. They degraded. Okay, now the facility we're talking about at Pickaxe is infinitely harder to get to. They've done a much better job, the Iranians have, of really burying this thing. Furthermore, we don't have, and this is a key story that I'm the only one I think who's talking about this.
Go ahead.
So we only had maybe 20 MOPs of the Massive Ordnance Penetrator before last year's strikes. We went through 14 at least of those MOPs in last year's strikes.
Wow.
So that leaves maybe a dozen or less, depending on what varying states they're in, of those weapons left. We don't have enough of those GBU-57s to actually do the kind of mission the president wants us to do. We can drop them, yeah, and put on a big dazzling light show, but it's not going to be enough. And so this is where I start hearing from certain people I know in the loop. They start mentioning things like the nuclear tactical nuclear weapon, and forgive me now, I'm forgetting the name of it. It is the
not a good idea thing. It's not a good idea.
It's the not a good idea thing. If you give me a second, I'll pull it up. But basically, sure. they want to fly it in from Whiteman. It's a ground penetrating nuclear weapon, and they think that this will be the way forward. Because that this is the largest, it's a very serious tactical nuclear weapon, but we can basically dial its yield. So if we want to go 0.01 or if we want to go all the way up, we can, on those yields, but wow. It's the B-6111. So okay. There's the B-6112, which is an air burst bomb. That's stored at Incirlik, Turkey. We have about 20 of those. But to do the kind of mission that the president really wants us to do, and I apologize for blanking on this.
You're totally fine.
It's B-6111, and that's a ground-penetrating nuke, tactical nuke. Like I said, we can literally dial what yield we want it to explode at. So if we want it to be bigger, smaller, medium size, whatever, we can do that. And they're stored at Whiteman, which is where the B-2s are based out of. So they would just load those babies on, fly the B-2s in the middle of the night, and then plop them like they did last year with the MOPs, but they'd probably use the tactical nukes instead to try to collapse what was underneath the mountain. And I'm telling you right now, with all the tactical nuclear weapons in the world, even if we are able to get beneath that granite mountain and really destroy Pickaxe the way the president wants it to be destroyed, to obliterate it, that will set into motion a series of events that we will not be able to stop, to de-escalate.
I want to ask you about that, but I first want to point this out because I've been more accurate in my predictions after adopting this mindset. I think about it like a kid going to Toys R Us, right? And it's like, oh, this thing's got all the bells and whistles. It's got the switches, the lights, the giant dinosaur that I want, whatever. The way they probably sell these things, they present them to Trump. That sounds like something he might be interested in. Like just, it can be dialed, you know, it's all right, Mr. President. It's just a small explosion, just a small loan of $1 million, whatever you want to say. I think he could adopt that logic. So I want to ask you about that because you started going into that, but I wanted to just make that observation. What is the, not just escalation trap in Iran, but globally, if we use this nuclear weapon?
So you're right about how they're going to sell it. And we know Trump has the, you know, he's a megalomaniac. So, you know, he loves stuff right. like this. And this is, and you know, I was on with another show yesterday and we were talking about how it's sort of like a perfect Hollywood ending, right? This is, and Trump thinks like this. Trump, this is how Trump thinks.
Central casting.
Central casting, exactly. So what a Hollywood finish. He's going to go in. He'll drop the B-6111. It'll knock the thing out. He'll come home and then he'll call up the Iranians and say, okay, let's make a deal now, buddy. I've got the, but that's not how it's going to go. Because what's going to happen then, the Russians and the Chinese are going to get involved. They're, and we know that he's worried about this because he put out a Truth Social post about an hour or two ago in which he was saying, I talked to the wonderful Chairman Xi and he assured me that they're not selling weapons and they won't be giving weapons at all to the Iranians. Well, that was him preempting what I think he's worried the Chinese and Russians might do. You know, if we do drop this tactical nuke, on Pickaxe and, or within Pickaxe. And, I think he knows what's coming. And so, what'll happen is if we drop this nuke thinking that this is the path to de-escalation, that is a mirage and it will actually lead to uncontrolled escalation. The great late, Herman Kahn referred to it as an insensate war, W-A-R, right. wargasm. And, right. That is precisely where we will be because at that point, the Ruskies are going to get involved and the Chi-Coms are going to, and probably the Norks as well. The North Koreans will probably get involved too. So, yeah, not to enable Iran. Oh, isn't that rich? And so, you know, this is not a de-escalation. And I, by the way, I would argue even doing some ineffective, you know, attack with conventional weapons on Pickaxe is not going to be the end of the line that Trump thinks it will because he's going to put the Iranians in a position where they have to then respond to this dazzling strike.
He's selling tickets to heaven for them. Like that's they, what their religion, what they
believe. Heaven or hell.
Yeah. Well, what they believe, literally, they believe they're going to be martyred fighting the United States of America. So like the very idea of like, you can kill enough of these people to get them to submit. This is unlike any other conflict we've ever been involved in. It's unlike the conflict with the Arab states as well. They truly have a different mindset. And the more of them we kill, it only emboldens them more. I don't have the clip ready. I was watching it earlier this morning. It was like a guy, he's like, I'm a reporter, but now I have a gun. And like, we have these three islands and they're aircraft carriers. And I'm on one of these islands and I'm waiting to kill Americans.
Yeah.
And that's their mindset, right? And that mindset.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying we faced an enemy like this before. Famously, when the Americans went in 1965, the Battle of Ia Drang, the North Vietnamese they captured when they first landed, and this was depicted in the great We Were Soldiers Once and Young book on the Battle of Ia Drang. They captured a scout, a young North Vietnamese scout, and he was excited. And they were like, why are you so happy? He said, you don't understand. We're all in the mountains and we've been waiting. We want to kill Americans very badly. And that's the mindset that you're dealing with. We lost in Vietnam.
Right.
We lost in Vietnam. There's that truth.
Here, social. Let me read the tweet really quick. Yeah. President Xi at our recent meeting in Beijing, China, told me that he would not, under any circumstances, give or sell weapons to the Islamic Republic of Iran. And that statement included Chinese companies. Considering our relationship, I take him at his word, and besides, I am doing him very big favors also. Likewise, President Putin, despite the horrible war going on in Ukraine, the relationship remains, as it does with President Zelensky. I mean, you can't play both sides of the fence there much longer. Told me that he would not sell weapons to Iran. He understands that I do not sell weapons to Ukraine, but to NATO countries. That's insane. That is so insane. That is deranged. We've given Ukraine $300 billion. Yeah. Brandon, what do you have to say about that?
I mean, one of the reasons that we don't have enough air defense interceptors in the Middle East is because we've given so many air defense interceptors to Ukraine over the years. So, you know, this notion that, I mean, look, the president, I don't know if he's just not in touch with reality or if they're keeping things from him information wise. We know that he's not accessing the information flows. Right. But at the end of the day, the president is not dealing in the same reality space that you and I and the rest of the world really are. I will say his comments, we need to remind the audience here. I reported this at 1945. 3 weeks ago, the Chinese surprised the world when they launched a submarine launched ballistic nuclear missile They did not tell anybody they were doing this test. That's against the international standard. You're supposed to tell the world we're doing this. It has the capability to reach, it's the JL3, I think. It has the capability to reach San Francisco. It has the capability to hit basically any of our allies in the region, in the Indo-Pacific, including New Zealand. And it, the Australians and the Japanese went apoplectic when the Chinese did this. And the Chinese did it for a very specific reason. They were letting Trump know, you need to know who you're messing with, buddy. And the Russians as well, by the way, we have been told, Politico reported this during the NATO conference in Turkey. Apparently, the belief is among NATO, and I've heard this through other sources as well, so this is why I give it more credence.
Right.
Apparently, in the last year or so, Putin did want to drop a tactical nuclear weapon on the Ukrainians, and it was Xi Jinping who told him, don't do it, it's not worth it
right now. Don't cross that threshold.
That's right, not yet. But we're already in a place where the other two major nuclear powers in the world are sending messages that they're willing to go there. And the only reason they're not so far is because the other main nuclear power, the United States, isn't going there. But I guarantee you, if we use a tactical nuclear weapon, however low the yield is, whether it kills anybody or not, if we demonstrate the willingness to do that, it is not going to have a deterrent effect. It is going to compel those other nuclear powers to start popping off their nukes, or using nukes as a more forceful diplomatic tool than they already use it as, to get what they want in their regions of the world. That's just the way this works.
Right. I've heard Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson talk about this very eloquently, almost it is at a spiritual level, about the spirit of nonproliferation and what we have done to really dispel and degrade that, especially like the New START Treaty is a great example. We're in uncharted territory. What do you want, you know, an American citizen to know, someone listening to this that just goes, well, you know, I'm having a hard time finding a reason to not support this war. You know, it hasn't gotten that bad for me yet. What's coming around the corner here? Tell them about it.
Well, I think once we go there with pickaxe, there's then the issue of land incursion. And we're already seeing shaping operations take place around Bandar Abbas. You're seeing Keshem Island come into play in the Strait of Hormuz. You're seeing, obviously, a lot of talk. The president himself posted a video not long ago of him speaking in the 1980s advocating for taking Karg Island. So this has been on his mind for, you know, almost 40 years. So Karg Island is very much on the table. And what that means is U.S. ground troops. You know, he says, oh, we're going to use proxies. And I think in many instances we will try. But ultimately, we've learned this, proxy wars on the ground don't stay foreign for too long. Eventually, American troops are pulled in. Again, just look at Vietnam. Remember, Vietnam was not sold to us originally as an American war. It was an American assistance operation to help the South Vietnamese, and that rapidly devolved into an American war, and this happens repeatedly. Afghanistan, people don't remember this. Afghanistan, yes, it was an American war in the sense that we were the ones who went in, but we did not go in with regular ground troops. We went in with a cadre of Special Forces A-teams and CIA jawbreaker teams, and we were purposely trying to keep our footprint low in the beginning, and then it expanded once the defense industrial complex took over. And something similar, I think, is going to happen here. I think that the president is being briefed, and I think he's probably okay with trying to use Iraqi Kurds to go in to the northern part of Iran, to go and try to, quote unquote, liberate Iranian Kurds, who, by the way, don't want to be liberated. The president of Iran right now, Pezeshkian, speaks Kurdish, and he was raised among the Kurds. So the Kurds of Iran are very different from the northern Iraqi Kurds. But that is, that's missed upon by the Washington, D.C.
Well, right. And that's the whole thing. It's just, it's a massive country. It's 90 million people. It's the size of Western Europe. It's not Afghanistan.
That's right. Well, even we struggled with Afghanistan.
That's a great point, too.
But then also the Mujahideen Khalq is a Marxist revolutionary cult of personality group. They've been around for decades. We've supported them on and off. I am told that we are covertly rearming and retraining them. They're all scattered throughout Iran. And I think the logic is the Kurds of Iraq go into northern Iran, then the MEK kicks over some stuff in the other parts of the country, and this creates a pressure buildup on the regime. It can't withstand it. Then we're still doing bombing campaigns on places like Pickaxe. And then ultimately we land a finite amount of troops somewhere along the Iranian coastline to try to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. And I think the idea is, well, that will break the will of the Iranian regime. And again, I think this is a gross miscalculation. But I think from here, if we do the pickaxe strike that I think we're going to do from here, then it's not going to de-escalate. It's going to be, okay, we're now going up. Now, it might not happen right away, by the way. It might happen several months down the line. Remember, there was about a 6-month break from the 12-day war to when we started again in February of this year. But ultimately, and I was saying after the 12-day war, we will be at war again very soon. I've been proven right about this. In fact, I almost predicted the day that we were going to start this current war.
What led you to that prediction when you were like,
I just was watching the force build up. I was watching the rhetoric. I was watching at that time what was going on with the protests and what Trump was tweeting at the time. You know, I mean, he literally said, help is on the way to the protesters. And, you know, not long there. In fact, I was under the impression that by January 5th, as early as January 15th, he was saying, let's go. And the military was saying, we're not ready yet. We don't have enough.
That is
yet.
A whole nother discussion. We got a whole nother segment to round it out. I want to talk to you about so many other topics, but they played the color revolution card. Didn't work. They killed the leadership. Yep. Didn't work. They did the bombings. Didn't work. Did the blockade. Mm-hmm. Didn't work. Every single option. It's like, in order to sell me on something, you have to show me proof of concept. Right?
That's right.
And there's none of that here. So we got like 2 minutes left.
You don't have to do that in government. I mean, in government, it's just give me your tax dollars and we'll do whatever the hell we want with it. Right. And that's why I think if you're right to put it like, it's very smart to put it that way. Cause it basically, there's a checklist they're going through and, they're trying to see which of those checklists will achieve victory. We don't know what victory is. It's sort of like Schrodinger's victory.
It's a state of mind.
Right, exactly. But I think that the next stage is pickaxe with a nuke, maybe. And if that doesn't work, then we're going to see this kind of weird hybrid proxy / limited ground incursion. And that's going to affect everyday Americans. And all as that's going on, by the way, we're draining the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
It's almost gone. It's almost gone. It's almost gone.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly. And it's so that means the economy gets worse. That means it shrinks. I saw Chris Martinson on Tucker's show, and Chris is brilliant. And he made the point that, look, the last time we were using 74 million barrels of oil was 2011. And guess what? That was the economy was 36% smaller back then. So we know at least if we keep going and we seem to be keep going, we're still going. Sorry. That we're going to be 36% smaller in terms of our economy. And that's a best case scenario. I think this thing is heading into Great Depression territory.
I agree.
Within the year.
I agree. And I think that's what's going to make Americans wake up. I pray that we can get them to wake up a little bit
sooner.
By then
it's too late.
Yeah, I know, man. And that's why we broadcast so much is really, I'm just angry and pissed off about all this stuff, man. And everyone out there, the lemmings on, social media online, the talking heads that promote war and promote more death, promote more bombings.
They're like, all paid.
I know,
they're
man.
They're all paid.
I know, but even then it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Like what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Nothing. So like,
they must really not want to work a day job.
That's true. But here's my point. To the people that sell out, do you not understand that there is free credibility on the table for anyone that rises up against this? Like seriously, it's literally, we're going to witness a political extinction, the like of the dinosaurs in the Cretaceous period. I truly do believe that because supporting this in the next 3 to 6 months, it's going to be untenable. Okay. God forbid, Lord have mercy, may it not happen. If they do tactical nuke, if they do ground invasion, if they do another color revolution, do whatever, it's only going to lead to an extenuation of the existing circumstances. Things are going to get worse and worse and worse. Thank you, Brandon. We'll be right back. Going to talk the Caspian Sea, Ukraine, Russia, and more on the Middle East. Thank you. Check out his social media there. We the Brandon. Follow him now.
A microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation.
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the best afternoon geopolitical show on the internet. I am your host, Rex Jones, and on radio, TV as well, joined by Brandon Weikert, top writer, geopolitical strategist, analyst at 1945.com, author as well. We're going to continue our discussion on all things Israel, I-Z-R-U-L, the Caspian Sea, Ukraine, Russia, and just kind of the global geopolitical roundup. We were just talking about nuclear submarines, Brandon, and you're somebody that's very aware of the technology and what's around, what's available. Let's go ahead and start off with this. What exactly is going on where Israel's got these nuclear subs surfacing?
Yeah, so the Dolphin class is the submarine you're talking about. It is a diesel-electric, air-independent propulsion-capable submarine, which means it's very quiet. Doesn't have the range or endurance that a nuclear submarine has, but that they don't. Israel doesn't need that because they're just a regional. They're a local power, so they don't go really beyond the Middle East. They've got six of these subs. They're Thyssen Krupp So they're German built. They're very, very good. And last Sunday, the Israelis surfaced one of those Dolphin class submarines, leaving Eilat all the way down through the Strait of Tiran, heading to the Red Sea. Now, this caught a lot of people's attention, not only because the Israelis rarely let these submarines be seen in public. So that was clearly they were sending a signal. But also they were leaving Eilat, which is in the south. Now, those subs are based in Haifa, which is in the north. And so that indicated to people that I spoke to for that article you guys just showed that the Israelis have at some point repositioned or rebased at least some of their Dolphin class subs so they can go and interdict in the Red Sea, go through the Strait of Bab el-Mandeb, and possibly even go all the way up to Iran and threaten the Iranian coastline with the submarines carry potentially 16 nuclear-tipped cruise missiles. So if you get, you get one of them alone is enough to cause a lot of damage. But if you get all six together or even just two or three, do the math, 16 times however many.
Right.
That's a lot of nuclear power there.
No, 100%. And, Americans were like, well, we give them money, we give them aid, we do all these things. They have something called the Samson option, right? And that's if they're existentially threatened, they make everyone else existentially threatened as well. So it's something that everyone definitely needs to be aware of, and just the general escalation. I hate living in a world where we're even having to talk about this reality.
Yeah, me too. And if I can just add in,
sure.
When I was on Al Arabiya about 2 months ago doing a debate with Yaakov Armador, who was Netanyahu's former national security advisor. And in our debate, I was actually kind of happy how honest he was, but I was floored at how honest he was, because I was saying, we have to get the Strait of Hormuz reopened. And if that means we have to do a deal, then that's what it has to be. That's what we have to do. And he got very dismissive, and he goes, we have no opinion about the Strait of Hormuz. It means nothing to the Israelis. We don't care.
Wow.
And he said, that's an American problem. So I brought this up with somebody else yesterday, Matthew Ho, and Matthew pointed out, he goes, if you think about it, the Israelis have what they need in their little part of the world. And so really, they don't care what we're going through. They kind of love what we're going through, because it means we have to stay militarily committed now to a region we wanted desperately to abandon.
Yes. And that's that entire concept of that projection of force. And that's why we can't have anything nice here domestically, is because we got this capital city, essentially capital country, thousands of miles away. And we have to project that massive force, that trillions of dollars, to keep their stability in the region. And that's why he says the Straits closed. That's an American problem. No, that's a worldwide problem. That's a global problem. It's just not a problem for them.
So I was talking to somebody. I know a lot of old timers, both are on our side.
We love
some old timer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know some of the old timers from Israel too. And they still talk to me occasionally. And something I was told, was the reason that sub was put out there, it was a fail safe. If the Iranians reopen attacking Israel,
right,
the Israelis are very afraid that the Iranians will target their only two refineries in the country. And if that happens, then basically all of that natural gas and whatnot that they're sitting on in Israel, they can't do anything with.
Right.
And so they can't use it. And they're already seeing shortages of critical fuels in Israel. So that sub could possibly be parked off the coast of Iran. If the Iranians hit those two refineries in Israel, the Israelis will surface the submarine and fire their nuclear-tipped cruise missiles either at Tehran or, wherever, whatever target they think is viable. Here again, we're talking about the nuclear genie being let out of the bottle.
Right. Well, let's examine that for a second, talking about the domestic situation in Israel, because, of course, the 12-day war that ended in large part because I think they wanted it to be over because they couldn't take the hits anymore. And they're in a very fragile situation. Yeah. It's a country the size of New Jersey with 9 million people. In a war that they started with a country of 90 million people that's the size of Western Europe. So just the math doesn't math on that perspective, but their asymmetrical advantage of having the nuclear weapon and having the ability to deploy that theoretically or practically, that's what gives them the oats, or the nerve to do it, the chutzpah. That's the word for it.
Yeah, the chutzpah.
Yeah. To do this type of thing. What's the situation in Israel like?
Well, not only does that give them the chutzpah, but knowing that Big Brother America is basically at their beck and call. Because I guarantee you, if we left the region overnight and cut all ties, things would get very different for Israel in terms of how they calculated these policies. They would suddenly become quite rational, I think. But because they know they've got those nukes and they've got Big Brother always at their beck and call, it makes them a little crazy. They think they can get away with a lot that they shouldn't be getting away with.
It's a power trip.
Or shouldn't even be trying.
It's a power trip.
It absolutely is, especially with the current crew they've got running the country. That's definitely a power trip.
Well, so let's just, one second, because I know it's a little bit of slop, but it's also real news. Ben Gavir has a crocodile pit. Okay, they're talking about burning all Lebanon for every one of our mothers that weep. A thousand of yours will weep. Collective punishment, ethnic cleansing. Yeah. Like they're cartoon characters. And if more Americans realize that, and that's why humor is really good, and I try to use a little bit of it to illustrate some of these points, you literally have Eric Cartman 2.0. This guy's Eric Cartman from South Park.
It's deranged.
Yeah.
It's deranged.
Monstrous.
I know a couple of Holocaust survivors, and sure, they're no longer with us. I can't imagine they'd be okay with this sort of behavior.
Well, certainly not, especially because this is the behavior that's going to lead to really, you know, the most anti-Semitism ever seen across the
world.
Absolutely. Because that is the evil of Zionism. It's saying, oh, you know, this ethnic identity, this religious identity, it's actually a nationalistic identity. This same state that we have from the 40s is a state we had 3,000 years ago because we say so, and America has weapons.
That's right.
That's basically the equation.
There's been nothing more damaging to the cause of, you know, of Jewish rights or whatever than Zionism. There's the single most damaging, I think, thing.
And they know they know it. That's they perpetuate.
Yeah.
That's the Greater Israel Project itself. They say, oh, it's so bad for you everywhere else, you have to come here. Well, you guys are creating those conditions.
It's very perverse. It's very perverse. But I don't mean to go off topic. To answer your original question, which, forgive me, I'm forgetting now. It was, we were talking about
Israel and the domestic situation.
Yes, it is not good there. It is not good. And I know it's not good, because David Wormser descended into my comments section the other day telling me how wonderful it was in Israel and how wonderful the economy's doing. Of course, David Wormser is the lunatic who got us into Iraq. I mean, he more than anybody, he wrote the clean break memo. And I knew David once upon a time. And he descended in my comments sections a couple weeks ago to say I was spreading Hezbollah talking points.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. Anyway, it's not going well there. And here's another example, just a little vignette. Right now, the U.S. military, we've been so degraded in terms of our bases. We've had to reposition our very valuable tankers all in one spot in the very public Ben-Gurion International Airport.
KC-135s.
Yes. KC-135s. And we don't have a lot of these things. And they're essential, by the way. And the replacement for the KC-135s are not doing well. They have not been able to mass produce these things. They're in procurement hell. So what we have is what we have for the foreseeable future. And they're being targeted. So we've piled them in to the civilian Ben-Gurion International Airport. That is like Israel's so small that it's like their main international airport. They've got one, which is Ben-Gurion. So we're taking up all the slots for civilian airliners. This right now season in Israel is, Aliyah, which is their big, when all the Jews from around the world, all the Christians from around the world that are Zionists, they all come from around the world around this time of the year, go to Ben-Gurion International, and then they go on their tours of the country. Well, we're taking up all the space with our military planes at Ben-Gurion. They've already had to cancel 50,000, civilian flights, international flights into Ben-Gurion, and the Israeli Airport Authority is screaming bloody murder. The Israeli business community is going crazy because right now they need the tourism and they can't get it. Not that many people want to come right now, but of the people who do want to come, they can't get into the country because the KC-135s are eating up all the tarmac space. So that alone indicates to you they need the money badly. The economy in Israel is not doing well. It is basically a wartime economy.
Right.
You know, the people, the intelligentsia, the people you would need to rebuild the economy after the war, at least 600,000 of them have permanently left in the last 3 years. They're not coming back with their families. They have gone elsewhere. They've gone to Patagonia, the Crete. Some of them are going to Malta, Georgia. Some of them are coming back to the United States. But this is a huge blow in terms of brain drain for the Israelis. So the Israelis are not doing well economically. They're not doing well politically. You have a huge backlash against Netanyahu specifically. Even though the Israelis do generally support his policies in the war, They do not like Netanyahu. And so there's a lot of political issues with the, you know, the current situation politically. It's not going well in Israel right now. It's not. And they need the war over, but they don't want to end the war. But they need it over because their economy is not producing the way it used to. I mean, who wants to invest massive amounts of capital into Israel's burgeoning tech sector when it might get blown up at any minute? The capital flows are just not there the way they used to be before this war began. And they're not going to be there until the war ends. And the Israelis don't really want the war to end. So this is a very strange situation, if you're an Israeli businessman.
Yeah, and I think they mirror us, or we mirror them as well, because you hear Netanyahu go, oh, the defense stocks are doing so good, the economy is incredible. But that's not
but
a real
economy.
Yeah,
but those don't build the economy.
Yeah, it's not a real
economy.
That's
a parasitic economy. And, you know, there's a reason after World War II, the Truman administration was desperate to get us to demobilize the military en masse because they wanted all those young men to come back home and get back into the economy.
Yeah.
So, it's true that the defense sector, yes, it does boost GDP on paper, but it's not actually productive for building a competitive civilian economy. And the civilian economy is really what drives everything. A military economy, you know, that helps with winning a war maybe. Yeah, but in terms of actually being a country, that doesn't help at all. It makes everything worse. It sucks up all the resources that should go toward the people, and it diverts it toward the military. Just look at the Soviet Union, right? What took them down? We can say Reagan. That's not really what happened. Reagan contributed to the downfall of the Soviet Union, but it was really the fact that the Soviets for decades were spending way too much money on their defense and not enough money on getting washing machines to their people. And that is what took the Soviet Union down. And we are now in the exact same position here in the United States that the Soviets were in the 1980s.
Right. I talk about this all the time. I've been talking about it since I started broadcasting again a year ago. There's going to be a new framework, a new security architecture globally that emerges out of all this. I don't know when it's going to happen, 5, 10, 15 years, but eventually there's going to be some new rules that are going to be drawn up. We'll be lucky to have a seat at that table because of actions like this and supporting nations like
That's
Israel
right.
that break these types of rules, whether it's the non-proliferation stuff, whether it's, you know, war crimes, initiating a war of aggression, which, of course, at Nuremberg, they said was the ultimate war crime. That's what we did by starting this war. I don't see a way out besides, you know, the MacGuffin of perhaps hitting Pickaxe Mountain and then maybe he leaves. But, of course, I think that's just going to further escalate things. I think he did a good job
of
explaining that.
The enemy gets a vote.
Right. Talk about that. The enemy gets a vote because people here are like, I'll do an impression of someone that's called in. We're just going to bomb Iran and kill all the Muzzies. Like, what do you say to someone that says that?
Well, we will probably bomb Iran and kill a lot of Muzzies, but there's a lot more Muzzies where that came from, and they're not going to be very happy that we're now on top of everything nuking them or coming near to that. This, for them, then, is going to make them think this is really an existential thing, not just against their government, but we're trying to kill the Iranian people. And the president even said the Persian civilization ends tonight, right? He said that before.
A big glow.
The Iranians, the Iranians see and hear that. Now, to us, that's, you know, as Americans, oh, okay, well, that's just the president. He's just vamping. But to, if you're sitting in Iran, you don't have that context. He's coming to wipe us out. So that's going to compel them to take a harder stand. On top of that, you had 15 million Iranians show up to the funeral of the Ayatollah, who we all, including me, believe the people hated in large numbers. That is clearly not the case.
You kill the leader. You kill the leader.
That's right. And he's more than a leader, right? He's like their pope. You're killing the Pope and the head of state all in one. That ain't going to end well for a country that's very religious. The Iranians are deeply religious, and that's a big no-no what we did. So my point is, we can bomb them, and we've already demonstrated that. But where does that end? It doesn't end with peace. It doesn't end with surrender. These guys keep escalating. Why? Because for 30 years, they've had the ability to watch how we wage war on other countries in the region and to prepare for it. And the way they prepared for it is digging deep underground and building all of their factories for weapons and storing all of their weapons in these deep underground honeycombed advanced networks of tunnels that are protected by granite and hard to get to in general. And they can then fire their weapons through those silos underground, knowing we can never hit them from the air.
I've got the analogy for it. It's Batman versus Superman with prep time. You go, oh, well, Superman's going to defeat Batman. He's got laser vision.
Kryptonite gloves.
Yeah, exactly.
Kryptonite gloves.
They figured it out. And of course, they fought a brutal war against Saddam Hussein where they lost 400,000 people. So there's their proof of concept. You know, a lot of them can die. Like they're willing to do that.
And so, you know what's funny? We talked about Israel's Samson option. I think Iran might have a Samson option as well. I think they do have a handful of nukes, and I think that they might not have them paired to delivery systems, but they might have them in such a way. And maybe that's what's really at pickaxe. I don't know. But I do think they do have a handful of nukes. I think they've demonstrated, though, they're not crazy. They haven't first gone to that. They've gone right up the escalation ladder every time we have, which indicates they're actually a rational actor. And I think, though, they probably also have their own option where if it does look like all is lost, yeah, they're going to start cooking off whatever they've got.
Right.
And I wouldn't put it past this regime because the regime is religious in nature. And by the way, the Trump keeps talking about, oh, the economy there is so bad. Oh, the economy there. Yeah, okay, it is bad there. And that's partly largely because of our sanctions. But the economy is bad there. And yet there's still millions upon millions of Iranians who support the regime because the regime's source of legitimacy has never been predicated upon prosperity for the people. It's been built upon two things. Their faith, the Shiite faith, as well as the symbol of Iran as the key source of resistance to the American and Israeli empires.
Yeah, and I heard Malcolm Nance talk about this. I don't agree with him on Ukraine, but I do respect him as a military professional, as a mind, of
Malcolm's course. Been stellar on Iran. He has been stellar.
I heard him talk about it, just referencing the Iraq-Iran war, and he's like, listen, you don't understand. It's total war. They have little kids with keys to heaven on their heads walking through minefields. You can't beat
that. Right.
You can't, and that's so powerful. Exactly right. I need to reshare that clip because it's very important people see it. Like, when you're going up against that, it doesn't matter how many true social meme posts you make where Trump looks like Slenderman. Like, it's completely irrelevant because maybe propaganda might work on maybe a Western country, even like Venezuela, South America, we're trying to run a psyop on. They look at what we've done. I watched Arachi. He's sitting in some interview and he's sitting there smiling like Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he's like, have you ever been to a meeting where everyone at the meeting knows they're going to die right then, right there? And you're like, okay, well, like, can we just leave you alone? Can we not get in a decade long war with you people? And to our leadership, what are y'all doing? People around Trump, people co-signing this, it's really disturbing. You're going to kill everyone. You're going to be hated forever. Forever.
Yeah. Well, the people around Trump, I think it's important to distinguish. I think the uniformed military guys, I think they know full well this is folly, but they are very worried about going against the president. I was told repeatedly that General Kane does routinely push back on the president. The president just doesn't listen. The people around him, though, the civilians, the Susie Wiles, the Marco Rubios, Seb Gorkas, all of these people, all these civilian, you know, people, they are the ones who are in hock to the Israelis and the neocons in D.C., and they're the ones who are really propelling him forward down this most self-destructive path.
Right. And, you know, we talked about Pete Hegseth a little bit earlier, talk about Rubio, just all the people kind of around Trump. When they're sitting there, standing there in front of the coffins and they're coming home, how do you just not have a moment of saying,
they don't care.
I know,
they
man. I have a problem with it because I try to find humanity, but there is none. You know, there's a lack of humanity.
Those people have what they want. They have their Fox News fame. They have their cushy budgets. They have everything they want. They are satisfied. So when you have somebody like that, they're not going to rock the boat. And Trump this term, you know, we talked at the beginning of the Trump. I talked with Harrison about this when on Inauguration Day I was on with Harrison. And we were talking about how it did seem like Trump was more disciplined. And I said, yeah, I think that's because he's got Susie Wiles and she's a real taskmaster. And I think he's afraid of Susie on some level. It's weird. He's got this weird thing with her. But I actually think now, looking back on it for the last 2 years, the Trump first term may have been chaotic, but I'll take that any day because at least you did have alternative voices there.
Sure.
And I think part of the reason it was so chaotic is because you had a team of rivals. You had for every Gary Cohn, you had a Peter Navarro forever, you know, and everybody was doing their own thing. Now everybody's marching in the same direction.
Lockstep.
And they're all obsequious to the president. And that's the biggest problem, is they don't have anybody there who's telling the president, sir, this is lunacy. You should be focused on this instead of the war.
Right.
You know, my problem
is Trump clearly has a pathological need to be liked. Why is it only by the people who have hated him? Like Lindsey Graham, the golfing buddy. Lindsey Graham ran against Trump in 2016. He was like one of the first people to drop out. I don't think he was like formally declared or whatever. But like, if you go back in ancient history, like these are the ancient enemies of Donald Trump.
Well, don't forget, in October 2019, I posted this clip a couple days ago on my Twitter. Trump was making fun of Lindsey Graham in October 2019 because Lindsey said it was a mistake for him to be talking to the Iranians and to be talking to the Taliban. And Trump said, oh, if Lindsey had his way, we'd be at war in the Middle East for 1,000 years. I don't want to listen to Lindsey on this. I don't know where that Trump went. I don't know if they're just microdosing his Diet Cokes or what, but this is not the guy of even 5 years ago. This is a totally different guy.
I have to agree.
His brain is gone.
I have to agree with Barnes. I think it's frontal lobe dementia. Robert Barnes, former Trump lawyer.
I think
lawyer.
So too, but I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to go.
My opinion on this is just like the fundamental switch up. You run on a mandate to lead. You destroy the Democrats. You destroy Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and you throw all of that away. Tell us it's our fault that, you know, we're not being supportive enough and that, oh, if we don't win, the Democrats are going to take over. Well, you gave them a platform. That is the entire, that's what this war is. That's a campaign commercial for November.
Yeah.
That will play.
Well, I can tell you, that one is. You're right. I can tell you right now, I've gotten to know a handful of Democrats and God, I don't agree with them on almost anything, but on the war, even guys like Mark Warner are coming across as very rational and stable and cogent. Whereas of course, 10 years ago during the Russiagate thing, they sounded like kooks, but now even they are sounding like very reasonable. And you're wondering, how did Trump get to a point where now all of these guys sound really good and they sound really wise? And Trump sounds like a detached lunatic, you know, like he's Slim Pickens riding the bomb all the way down to Target yelling, yee-haw.
Yeah, Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, I don't know. We seem to have a mad king in charge. Congress isn't there. I don't know what Congress is doing. I worked there even when there were Republicans in power in both houses and in the presidency. If the president did something that damaged the separation of powers, the Congress would get together and push back. They're not even doing that anymore. I mean, this is like, talk about a rubber stamp Congress. Trump is basically Caesar already.
Right. No, 100% agree with that. We're going to cover that and more. We're going to get into Ukraine and kind of tying these two things together in that global energy war that we're talking about. There you go. Riding the bomb. It's a big, beautiful bomb. Big, beautiful explosion.
The biggest. The biggest. People tell me.
That's right. People are saying it. Yeah, that's my favorite. People are saying it. It's true. People are saying it. But thank you, Brandon. We'll be right back. We're going to do one more segment with you. Really looking forward to that. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. You need methylene blue. You need apparel. You need water filtration. We got it all available for you and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. I'll see you after this break.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life.
Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look. Vodka. Potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow. The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc. I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
It's time to get locked in on the Strait of Malacca and just the global geopolitical roundup. I want to talk to Brandon about India and some of the things people aren't paying attention to right now. Brandon Weikert, what's on your mind? What do people need to know?
Well, thanks again for setting that up, because I do think that for all the talk about the Middle East and Ukraine, I think that there's a larger picture of being painted here. And there's about 7 world oil choke points. Strait of Bab el-Mandeb and the Strait of Hormuz are only 2 of them. Obviously, there's the Suez Canal.
Right.
But one of the most important is the Strait of Malacca. And that is the one that the Chinese are most concerned about. It's basically the primary waterway that most of China's really important imports flow in through. And the Chinese call this the Malacca dilemma, because obviously China historically is not a great naval power. And you would have to be a great naval power to be able to project protective force into the Strait of Malacca, which is near Malaysia, and it's very far from China's shores. The U.S. Navy has plans on the books already. If a war were to break out, we would blockade the Strait of Malacca. Of course, that would have very disastrous impacts for the world economy, because it's not just the Chinese who get their stuff through the Strait of Malacca. But the Indians are now coming in, and obviously we are nominally aligned with them.
Right.
But they're doing some stuff where they're basically building out a presence in places like Sabang Port, and they're also building out Great Nicobar Islands, which is in Indian territorial waters, but it's just on the mouth of the Strait of Malacca, that northern mouth. And so what the Indians are trying to do is they're trying to increase and intensify their footprint via trade, but as a backdoor for military in the region, and they're trying to basically counter China's capability to protect their own stuff going through the Strait of Malacca, or to even take control over the Strait of Malacca.
Wow.
And the Indians, I think, are working in conjunction with us to do that. So as you're watching what's going on with the Strait of Hormuz, what's going on with the Strait of Bab el-Mandeb, the Houthis are now blockading that from Yemen, and that's impacting the Red Sea. That's going to impact the Suez Canal as well, because that's the entryway to the southern Suez. But you're also seeing what's going on in the Black Sea. You're seeing what's going on in the Sea of Azov, where the Ukrainians are attacking these critical Russian energy shipments as well as wheat shipments. That all plays into a larger geopolitical picture. You see the Americans exerting more presence and power in the Panama Canal.
Right.
You see fights now erupting over the Greenland-Iceland-United Kingdom gap in the Atlantic.
Yep.
You see talk about us taking more of a forceful presence in the Northwest Passage, us getting more interested in what's going on in Alaska and the Bering Strait. These are all parts of a larger geopolitical picture the great powers of the world are painting, wherein they are racing to have control and the ability to choke off access to these key 7, the more than 7 I've listed, but basically there's 7 really important ones, choke points. And if they can do this, the world powers, they could have the ability to collapse the global economy, or to ensure that they benefit disproportionately from controlling those waterways. And I think if you look at sort of what's going on with Ukraine and with what's happening in the Iran war, there definitely seems to be somebody who wants these choke points to be targeted, and they want to basically have the ability to collapse the economy if necessary.
someone or something. And we're going to cover more of that in the global roundup, getting into Ukraine, Russia, and Kazakhstan coming up. It's very important for people. Here's the thing. Judge Knapp, Dialogue Works, Mario Newfall, Sulam Ahmed, Daniel Davis Deep Dive. There are so many phenomenal places you can go to get this information. It is literally dropping every single day. And if you're not aware, alert, following it, then, you know, we're just all going to be victims together. The power is being informed. Share live link, share transmission. Go to We The Brandon on X and follow Brandon Weikert. Really incredible mind. Really appreciate having him on the show. We're going to be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Specimens have been specifically calibrated for the spread of Alpha Gal, a permanent curse on those who feast on the flesh of mammals. Real meat is finished. My ticks and mosquitoes will make sure of it. Eat the synthetic slop or starve.
Looks tasty, doesn't it?
All right. We're going to be getting back with Brandon Weikert shortly. Had a little bit of a connectivity issue on our end this time. We're going to get into it, but I want to read you this article so I can brief you on what's going on. Kazakhstan slows oil output after drone strikes on export port. Wonder who that was. Moscow. Kazakhstan said on Thursday that it had reduced oil production after suspected Ukrainian drone attacks forced its main export terminal on the Black Sea to close, with one source saying its biggest field had slashed output by more than half. Disruption to the route, which handles around 2% of the world's daily crude supply, adds to pressure on an oil market already grappling with the effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz and threats to Saudi Arabian exports in the Red Sea. Kazakhstan's energy ministry said oil companies had reduced output due to export constraints, saying the Caspian Pipeline Consortium, CPC Pipeline, loading operations had been suspended for safety reasons.
Due to restrictions on crude oil intake into the pipeline system and in order to prevent storage tank congestion at energy producing companies, a controlled adjustment of daily production levels was implemented, resulting in a temporary reduction of oil output.
So what does that mean in plain English? That means that 2% of the world's oil supply is now gone. And like Brandon is about to get back into, when we look at the situation in Iran, shutting off their oil, look at the situation in the Middle East, just in general, Qatar under threat, Saudi Arabia under threat, the Houthi, of course, with the Yanbu pipeline in the Red Sea, shutting that down. This just adds on to the global crisis and ongoing energy war. And Matt Bracken has spoken very eloquently about this. It's one of those other old head legends, Navy SEAL, you name it, that I highly recommend you check out more of their broadcasting, because you can become educated and informed and tell other people about this. Because to most people, they go, Kazakhstan, whatever. You go, hey, this is part of a patchwork. This is being organized by a global cabal, a collective that wants all this stuff to happen so we can have permanent meltdown and nuclear war, perhaps energy war, where they can buy everything up, control the resources, and then in a post-apocalyptic Mad Max-style future, rule over the ashes. And, you know, we're normal, reasonable people. We're not going to let them do that at the cost of our life, at the cost of our liberty, at the cost of our friends, everything. We're not going to have a world, you understand. We're not going to have a world much longer. And the idea of everyone around the world, especially us, not constantly looking for peace, trying to find peace, trying to find compromises, trying to find deals. I voted for Donald Trump twice because I thought that, you know, he was going to do those things. He was going to restore American national sovereignty by, you know, getting us out of these wars and preventing a global energy crisis, because he said over and over and over again, cheap energy is the key to the economic recovery. And we all knew this. When I would argue with people in 2024 about Trump, I would say at a baseline level, the economy is going to be better because of all these policies that are proposed. No new wars, bringing back American energy, drill baby drill here, which I am a fan of. all of that is irrelevant when it's a stopgap measure for the crisis. When they say, oh, we got Venezuela, we got the heavy crude. Well, that's good because we need it from them or else we're not going to get it from the Middle East now because we destroyed it. Congratulations. So, you know, problem, reaction, solution over and over and over again. The cycle continues. Guys, can you give me an update really quick? Does he have the new link? All right. It's all good. We're going to go back to him soon. Look at that. All right. It's the same link. Really appreciate that. I'm just going to check on that real quick. Cause I have my phone on do not disturb. Look at that. Drill, baby, drill. My name's Donald Trump. I sold out to Netanyahu. Okay. Let's go to a clip here for a second. Let me go to the rundown here. Let's just go ahead and go to clip number 9. Can we throw clip number 9 in there, please?
Done that he will never be impeached for because Democrats support it. Both parties supported regime change in Iran because both parties have the same paymasters and the same donors who are demanding loyalty to a foreign country. The same AIPAC donations that, like, think like 90% of the entire Congress takes money from a foreign lobby, unregistered foreign lobby. That's bonkers. If this were Liechtenstein or Congo bribing 90% of our lawmakers to toe the Liechtenstein or Congo line, I'd be totally opposed to it. It doesn't make me anti-Congolese or anti-Liechtensteinian. I'm not a racist for thinking that. I'm an American who wants my lawmakers to vote on behalf of my country. Like, it's that simple. It's literally that simple. And every...
Well, they do vote on behalf of your country, Tucker, because your country is Israel and that's the capital, as I've discussed ad nauseum. Look at this. Trump to meet Netanyahu at the White House on Tuesday amid Iran escalation. Wow, look at this. Go ahead and open this here. Netanyahu has met with Trump in the Oval Office 6 times, about to be 7, 6-7, there's that number again, 6, since Trump returned to office a year and a half ago, more than any other world leader. Now, that's certainly not strange at all, or odd at all, but Netanyahu is deeply unpopular. I mean, no crap. At President Trump's invitation, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will depart for Washington on Monday for an official visit. Oh, an official visit now. The Israeli Prime Minister's office said in a statement, as part of the visit, the Prime Minister will meet with President Trump at the White House on Tuesday and will attend the funeral service for Senator Lindsey Graham. So he's coming here for Lindsey Graham's funeral. I guess, you know, Lindsey Graham's dying wish. Go ahead, throw Holden Bloodfeast up there real quick. Now, I know Lindsey was 71. I know he wasn't like 121 years old like the meme. Holden Bloodfeast.
Please, God, it's one more time. Let me see blood. Let me nuke Iran. Nothing else matters.
That's basically Lindsey Graham. And they literally... they gave Lindsey Graham like a standing ovation. They mourned him. They wailed for him in the Knesset. They know they lost one of their greatest soldiers. And they know he's looking up at him, you know, expecting nuclear war, and they're probably going to get it. It's really, really disgusting. On Wednesday, a White House official told Axios there were discussions about a potential Oval Office meeting between the two, but noted that no meeting had been set. Of course, Netanyahu sets the meetings whenever he wants to. He brings his dirty laundry to the White House, literally in suitcases, so that we clean it. We're his slaves. Holden Bloodfeast, look at this.
118 years old. Please, God, just let us nuke Iran. Nothing else matters. I'll do anything. Please, just want to be burning flesh one more time.
Like, can we not have this anymore? Can we have, you know, young people that are anti-war service members that have served and seen war, business owners that understand the cost domestically of these conflicts and why we can't do them? Can we get people that have actual, you know, agency within the society to be in charge? You know, not lawyers, not politicians, not people that are going to sell us out for, you know, lobbyist money. People that actually have an incentive based on life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness to have the United States of America prosper. But you think about it, and I say this all the time, Netanyahu is just doing his job. Like, he's like, are you going to be mad at Dr. Doofenshmirtz for trying to kill Perry the Platypus? Are you mad at Sauron for trying to get the One Ring back? It's what they do. He's lawful evil, literally, right? It's us on our side because we claim to be good. We claim to be America first. There is nothing America first about having a 51st state. We need to have a shirt and has the 50 stars and the 51st in the middle. And like, that's a high level psychological technique because, you know, people go, oh, I support that. Oh, you support that you're Zionist? You want us to bomb little kids? Oh, that's interesting. We just got you to out yourself doing that. It's quite stunning how brave people are about being pro-murder. It really is insane. If you look at all these conflicts, what do they generate for us? They generate American debt. Because see, here's the thing. One death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistic. You can say, oh, we killed a million people in Iraq. People don't care. We started a slave trade in Libya. People don't care. They're, oh, like 1.5 million people dead, Ukraine-Russia war. They don't care. But, oh, the American soldier dies or the Israeli soldier dies, IDF, they literally, they shriek, they howl, they kvetch, they moan, and they do more military operations that lead to more dead, and it's a self-perpetuating cycle. There again is that campaign ad, that campaign trailer that's going to run network-wide, social media-wide, all November. The entirety of November, that's all you will see is coffins. And I just hope there's not more to come. All right, I'm going to keep reading this from CBS News. Rapid pace of interceptor and precision-guided weapons use worries Trump administration. The rapid pace at which the U.S. is expanding some of its most advanced air defense systems and interceptors and precision-guided weapons to the Middle East is at a point of great tension inside the Trump administration as President Trump's war with Iran. Oh, it's not a war. It's a military, special military operation. Remember when they were doing that? It's finally ripened now. I have to clip it up and post it everywhere. The debates I did with the quartering and Andrew Wilson where they told me this would all be over soon. And at the time I said, how dare you say that? Like, how dare you say that? And they go, oh, what about the children? What about the kids? That's a leftist talking point. Well, if that's a leftist talking point, then I'm a leftist because we're killing little kids. We're murdering little children. And if that's what it means to be a Republican,
my buddy Trump is in a fight.
Someone called in and said this on American Journal.
If my buddy Trump is in a fight, I'm in a fight too.
Well, he's in a fight. He's just punching you in the face. So I guess if you want to join him and punch yourself in the face, you can just go ahead and do that. You can do that like 20 times. Maybe, you know, help him knock yourself out faster. That'd be pretty cool. It's like patting yourself on the back with a meat cleaver. You know, like self-flagellation, I believe is the term for that, where like the bad monks or whatever, like whip themselves or whatever. That's basically what you do when you co-sign this. So I'm not doing that. I don't co-sign this. I abhor this. I'm going to vehemently object and stand against it every single second I do media. Because like, that's the reason I'm doing media is to stand against it. There's no life without standing against it. There's no liberty without standing against it. There's no world. There's no earth. Jesus is my savior. Trump is my president. You've got a powerful boomer right there. Here's the thing. That merchandise changed over time, right? Used to mean when Trump did things that were, you know, pro-Christian, pro-family, you know, like trying to bring prosperity back to America, that hat would make sense. It doesn't make sense anymore. Burn it. Seriously. Because what it is an aberration. You should not have the Lord and Savior's name next to somebody that kills little kids in the Middle East. Period. And in Russia and just across the world with our sanctions. We've killed 38 million people since the 70s with our sanctions. And Brandon was talking about it a little bit about the Iranian economy. Here's the thing people have to understand. We do economic warfare far beyond and far before we do physical warfare, before we do kinetic engagement, shaping operation, boots on the ground, missile strikes, whatever you want to say a war military is in the 21st century. We have been economically at war with Iran for decades. That's why when Trump says we've been at war with them for 47 years, there is a kernel of truth to that, just not in the way that you think. And look at this. Remember when this came out when Trump posted himself as Jesus? And he's got the demons behind him in the sky. And he's healing Epstein. He's performing a healing ritual on Epstein, a Talmudic ritual. He's rezzing him in Fortnite. He's giving him his reboot card. What the hell have we become? Seriously. So I'm just trying to be rational and call it out for what it is, which is a complete aberration of everything our nation is supposed to stand for. I'm going to read this from New York Times. War and tariffs threaten a resilient U.S. economy again. Reporting from Washington, a few short weeks ago, the U.S. economy seemed to be catching a summer break. I just like not immediately imploding is a break. Keep that in mind. The war with Iran appeared to be a warning, please. Energy markets had started to calm. Prices at the pump had fallen across the economy. Inflation began to cool. Inflation never goes away. It only goes down. It only goes down. And remember, the target was around 2.5%. I think we're at 4 now. So COVID, Joe Biden, I remember listening to the Maverick of Wall Street when I was living out in East Texas in a house where I couldn't drink the water with like basically no internet. When I got internet, I would watch the phenomenal stock channel, Maverick of Wall Street, and he would just break it down. 8% inflation, 9% inflation. He gave real numbers probably closer to, if not double digits, 12-13% of the peak, right? We are going right back there because this is a new COVID. This is a COVID of choice, and it's worse. Instead of, you know, an invisible virus that's, you know, shutting things down because people are afraid to go to work or afraid to do logistics things, afraid to move things around, afraid of demand destruction. Demand destruction did happen. Instead of that, we're in a situation completely of choice that can rapidly expand in 5 seconds. It would be like if COVID actually had a high lethality rate. That'd be a good way to put it. That's basically the situation we're in now. There's going to be a lot of dead people because they can't get the food, right? That's going to be the sickness. Instead of getting the coof, instead of going on the ventilator when your grandma and Andrew Cuomo tries to execute you, instead of doing that, it's just going to be you can't eat. It's just going to be, you know, food's going to be, you know, meat's going to be like $20, $30 a pound. Gasoline's going to be $8, $9 a gallon. Diesel probably the same, if not much higher. And, you know, liberal, 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 fun, fun, fun. Hitler, 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 Netanyahu, 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 Heil Netanyahu. And, yep, that's basically where we are. A widening military conflict with Iran entered a dangerous new phase, spooking energy markets and sending global oil prices to over $100 a barrel, which is where it's at now. The anxiety spilled into gas prices, which topped $4 a gallon in much of the country, according to AAA. Amid the tumultuous coincided with the return of Mr. Trump's trade brinkmanship, I just get this away from me. Get it away. Get that document away from me. I'm not reading Washington Post. I'm not reading these lies. New York Times. Get it away from me. Let's go to this Joe Kent clip from QE Infinity. If we still have this, and if we don't, we can go to the next thing here. Trump's foul-mouthed Iran meltdown leaked as president in revenge mode as he runs out of options. Look at this. This is like a bearded dragon. This is right, like a great golden lizard that runs our country and sits on top of a giant rock and a heat lamp hits him and Netanyahu controls the heat lamp. And maybe he can get burned. Maybe he's comfortable. That's kind of the situation he's in. The 80-year-old president. Just think about that. Think about your granddad or your great granddad, and then think about them being the president of the United States. And think about Biden and think about Trump. And Trump is just like Biden now, except instead of being the guy at the nursing home that can't move and lies in the bed all the day and doesn't know who he is, he's the guy trying to like sexually assault the nurse. That it's basically frontal lobe dementia. And Robert Barnes has gone into that in excruciating detail. He's a man who's lost his mind. He's lost in the sauce. And you can point at various people who have tried to snap him out of that. You can point to Joe Kent as an example. You can point to Tucker Carlson as an example. We don't know the inside baseball. Maybe Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, she literally sold a shirt that said no war with Iran for $40. You can look at those people. They're all gone. And, Laura Loomer, you know, has Trump's phone number and calls him all the time and she's over in Ukraine. So I guess Brandon's not going to be rejoining us, or if he is, it'll be in the next segment. Really looking forward to interviewing him again. I'll definitely have him on next week when I will be hosting both the Alex Jones Show and the War Room on different days. Really looking forward to that. If you guys want to find more of me, you can find me at New American Journal and Gray Area Talks. I have a whole media network. I do a morning show 5 days a week, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. On Tuesday, it's Gray Area. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's New American Journal. And I've got the marquee show, Gray Area Talks, on Thursday and Sunday. The best place to find all of it, a good jumping off point, is to follow me on X at Rex Jones News with a Z, or Twitter, as I call it. Follow me at Rex Jones News with a Z, and I'm really, really trying hard to build that Rumble up. If we could get to 1,500 on Rumble at New American Journal, you guys need a morning show. And one day, hopefully, we'll do another morning show here, too. But we're trying to build things out, starting from scratch, starting with the basics. I played the Obama deception this morning. If you want to go watch that classic documentary, it's available for you at New American Journal and many other places online. But I'm literally going live for you guys every single day that I can, because if you don't go live every single day, even multiple times a day, there's no way you could follow all these stories at once. And I'm blessed, due to my upbringing and my classical training, to be able to do this professionally and to be able to deliver you that information without getting too sick to my stomach, even though sometimes it does make me puke. I have to look at this. I have to look at a guy that I was an Olympic water carrying champion for. Okay. I did Trump apologetics for the better part, if not a decade. Okay. Literally like 2015 to 2024 straight. Okay, this was my guy. This was my main man. This was the boss. This was the OG. This was Unk. And Unk has totally betrayed us. He's betrayed the platform that he ran on, the reason why I supported Unk. He has treated us all not like nephew, but as bozos, and he's tried to slime us out. And we're not going to let that happen anymore, because here's the thing. Donald Trump, whether it's from old age or whatever, is not going to be with us for another like 10, 20 years. You know, you can say, oh, he's healthy as a horse. He's got a 9,000 IQ. He plays 1,800 rounds of golf every single day. I don't believe any of that stuff. Okay, you can watch the decline even from 2024 into now. He's clearly deranged. And here's the thing. Not all of that is natural. Probably most of it isn't. That's what happens when you have to live a lie. guys. That's what happens when you get degraded personally. Donald Trump is not the same guy that ran in 2016. If he was, he would be the Donald Trump that won the referendum on the Iraq war, and he would actually be fighting against the same policies that he is enacting. It is not my fault. I am not a traitor. I am not someone who switched up. I am not a rhino. I am not a Democrat, because I hold Donald Trump accountable and ask him and hold him to task and say, you are accountable for the promises you made on the campaign trail. Why are you the peace president? Where are no new neocon wars in the Middle East? Where is cheap energy? Where is cheap food? Where is the support for the farmers? Where is the support for small business? Where is the support for Americans, period? All we hear, I talked about it earlier, Bobbleman Deb, Strait of Hormuz, Yemen, Israel, China, Russia, Ukraine, blah, 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 South America, Venezuela, Argentina, $40 billion beef subsidy. We don't ever get anything here. We don't get paid attention to. They just tweet out like a meme of Obama as a monkey or Obama getting arrested, and then the people eat it up as slop. And you know what? If that's the case, we actually don't deserve anything that we have, and that's why it's all being taken away. Congratulations. I know I got people on here that are neocons. I know I got people listening to me right now that believe in this BS war, this bullshit war, this fake objective that can never be achieved, never be accomplished. Look around you. The wages of sin are death. Look around you. Look what you've done. Are you not aware of what you've done? Are you blind? Are you deaf? Are you dumb? Are you stupid? Are you retarded? Because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that compared to the recovery and beautiful period that we saw between 2016 to 2019, we're living in hell right now. This is COVID 2.0, as I've said many times. So I want to give amnesty out there to everyone right now that has supported this man over the years, that has backed him to the hilt through the lawsuits, through the lawfare, through the abuse, through the arrest, through the malicious prosecution, through the warrantless wiretapping, through the Russia hoax, through all of it. It's not your fault that he betrayed you. It's not my fault that he betrayed you, but it is your fault if you continue to walk down the line with him, the yellow brick road to hell, the orange brick road to hell with Donald Trump. Like that's where we're all headed, by the way. Some would say we're already here. So we're going to get into all of that and more into next segment. I want to cover Laura Loomer and Zelensky. We'll round out things with that today and more global energy war news. I do want to tell you guys, thealexjonesstore.com. We've got two phenomenal products that I invented. Power Plant and Methyl Drive. Methyl Drive has the PQQ, CoQ10. Power Plant has cordyceps, mushroom, rhodiola, rosea, zinc, boron, selenium. The Methyl Drive also has methylcobalamin, activated vitamin B12, and magnesium to support over 300 enzymatic processes throughout the body. Literally combined together, this is the marquee stack for people that are looking to try Methylene Blue, enhance their current Methylene Blue usage. Here's the thing. Methylene Blue works by increasing mitochondrial efficiency. All right. Methyl Drive, the ingredients in that, they increase mitochondrial biogenesis and then electron transport chain support for the mitochondria. Look that up. That's 100% true verbatim. That's why I can say that and make that claim. Go look it up on PubMed. That's what CoQ10 and PQQ do. If you add in the magnesium, add in the methylated vitamin B12 for redox support, add in the Power Plant with those two ingredients, the cordyceps mushroom to increase physical exercise tolerance, right? ATP production, more energy from the mitochondria itself, combined with oxygen carrying capacity and nootropic effects, combined with even more nootropic effects and cortisol lowering effects. You ever heard of ashwagandha lowering cortisol? Rhodiola rosea, golden root found in Power Plant, does the same thing, albeit through a different mechanism. What does that mean? Lower cortisol, theoretically, they get the same fuel source through cholesterol, more testosterone. This is a smartly designed stack that I spent a long time formulating to decide what is the best bang for your buck if you're going to get something that you want to enhance, add on to Methylene Blue. That is the Power Drive Bundle from thealexjonesstore.com. We've got the t-shirts. We've got the Nixon line. I saw Roger Stone on earlier. I was watching him talk about Reagan and the new book Bushwhacked. We have the Tricky Dick shirt. We have Nixon, I think 2028 as well. We've got so many great options available. We've also got the hats. We've got the water filtration. I'm so proud to sell water filters again. I was selling water filters when I was like 11 years old. We've got, look, Nixon maxing, shut up hippie, 2028, Tricky Dick 2028. I like the elephant shirt. That's the one that I've got personally. That's what I've been wearing. I also have the black one. I need to get that white one. That's a good looking shirt. But all of that is available for you and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, I'm live every single morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on New American Journal, and every Thursday and Sunday from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m., Gray Area Talks. Please follow those channels. It doesn't cost anything to follow them. I'm working my tail off for you guys every single day. I love you. Can I just say that? I love you all so much, and I will see you soon on the next break, next segment.
fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Who took the bomb?
Let's see what I can do with my final energy for this week. Of course, next week is going to be a whole bunch of bangers. I'll be hosting the Alex Jones Show and War Room More as well. Really looking forward to that. But saving the best for last year, this is kind of a cream of the crop, as Macho Man Randy Savage would say. We've got Laura Loomer visiting Ukraine. Now, this is very strange because Laura Loomer was formerly anti-Ukraine. Laura Loomer literally wrote for Russia Today, like five hit pieces on them, right? But now she's seen the light. She's covered her face. She's covered her face, and she's going to put lipstick on that pig and kiss it. And
That pig's name is Mr. Zelensky. I am from Ukraine, but I am Jewish, and I speak Russian originally, and I was sold to Ukrainian people as man who played president on TV like Kevin Spacey. But then I become president, I kill ethnic Russians in Donbass region, force Russia to start war, and then demand nuclear weapon from America, refuse to sign peace treaty because Boris Johnson tells me you will get all the support from NATO that you want.
All right, so I want to play clip number 16 here to start off, because here's the thing. Let me give you a little Ukrainian history here. There was a guy named Stephen Bandera, all right? And the people that supported him were called Banderites. He was allied with Hitler, all right? This is a neo-Nazi faction in Ukraine. They're also known as the Azov Battalion. You can go back to 2014, the Maidan coup. They were the ones that essentially got rid of Yanukovych with the help of Victoria Nuland, John McCain, CIA, State Department, DOD people. And they installed this new puppet government and eventually started spoiling for war with Russia by bombing those ethnic Russians in the Donbass region. So, but of course...
No, we are not Nazi, no. No, certainly not. The swastika patches and the lightning bolts, that is artistic, like My Little Pony or something. Come on.
So I'm going to play 16, and then I'm going to play clip 25, which is Zelensky in Canada with Trudeau in Parliament, where they give a multiple time standing ovation to a man that fought the Russians during World War II. Who fought the Russians during World War II? Who would that be exactly? So let's play the lie, and then let's play the truth. Let's play clip number 16 and then clip number 25 back to back.
I saw that there was some internal polling from Ukraine that showed that only 17% of Ukrainian people have a favorable view of the United States, which I'm confused. It's not higher because we send them so much aid in defense against Russia.
Oh, yes.
And also the opinion towards Ukraine and the United States is not very favorable. And so I
how
just
much plastic surgery has she had? My God.
Ukraine and who did consume a lot of Russian propaganda. I used to write articles for RT. I wrote about 5 articles for RT and I regret doing so.
Oh.
And I've come to realize that
I used to say I supported peace. Russian I get it. I'm also a liar as well. I'm Zelensky. Look at me. Oh, yes. Do you have cocaine?
I used to think that this
can I have cocaine, please?
I'm just trying to convey to you how sometimes optics,
yeah,
if things are not done in a very precise manner, how it can be conveyed and how much damage can be done to your country's image. Because the Democrats, I think they really exploited your visit. I want to ask
But can I tell you honestly? Yeah. Yes, honestly. Sorry. What I will tell you. I think if I knew or if I really could be involved to elections, maybe Democrats could have a little bit better results.
Well, we don't want that.
Pause it. All right, this shows you how it's all political theater. And look at this. They're giving this standing ovation to the neo-Nazi. Throw the audio in here.
We have here in the chamber today Ukrainian-Canadian world veteran from the Second World War who fought the Ukrainian independence against the Russians and continues to support the troops today.
Can't believe what he's reading.
At his age of 98.
He was there with Zelensky and Trudeau. Heil Hitler. That's what he just said. Back like the old days, back when he remembers it being fun.
Oh, yes, he said Heil Hitler, but this is okay now because Russians are bad. The Cold War and all of that, remember? All the Jews you killed, not important. You did it in service of fighting Russia.
Look at this. Hunka is no hero. Uh-oh. He fought for the feared Waffen-SS. He fought for the Waffen-SS, and then Zelensky goes,
oh, we are not Nazis, certainly not. There is no proof of any of that here.
And he's there watching the Waffen-SS guy get a medal from the Prime Minister of Canada. Look at this, pause it. Go back to that really quick. I'm going to read that quote. And look, the Canadian Parliament was forced to apologize. That's the position that they got put in by this. But that unit was part of some of the most brutal casualties ever seen in that region. That unit was responsible for the mass murder of innocent civilians with a level of brutality and malice that is unimaginable. So there you go. That's fun, right? That's more liberal winning. Let's go back to Zelensky and Loomer, clip 16.
I saw that there was some internal polling from Ukraine that showed that only 17% of Ukrainian people have a favorable view of the United States, which I'm confused. It's not higher because we send them so much aid in defense against Russia.
Not enough.
And also the opinion towards Ukraine and the United States is not very favorable. And so
Are you going to let me hit?
As somebody who was anti-Ukraine and who did consume a lot of Russian propaganda, I used to write articles for RT. I wrote about 5 articles for RT, and I regret doing so. And I've come to realize that I was bamboozled by Russian propaganda, and I came to believe.
I'm not sure if I want to. She may have disease.
Ukraine. I used to think that this was a country full of Nazis.
Pause it.
Just show his smiling face, the face of a liar. I know we like to mute here, but just like go back to him when he's cheesing, when he's showing teeth. Why do ninjas always got to show their teeth? What's going on with this CGA? Shout out Coach Greg Adams. Always says that. Look, he's cheesing Unk. He's cheesing up. Unk is cheesing up here over this question because he knows he put a medal on a neo-Nazi.
Oh, yes. I put medal on member of Waffen-SS, but there are no Nazi here. You crazy. Do you have more cocaine? I've asked you 5 times during this interview. Whenever Lindsey would come, whenever Lindsey Graham would take the train and come in, he would always bring his friend Zelensky cocaine.
Look at that. I think that's like a creepypasta from the internet, pretty close to Zelensky. That's Zelensky and Loomer's baby. You know, that's the CRISPR technology we're working on that's going to cost $1 billion to produce in one of those Ukrainian bioweapons labs that Tulsi Gabbard admitted on the record were true before she left. There's no bioweapons lab. There's no neo-Nazi here. There's no EU expansionist NATO takeover here. There's no long-range missiles being fired into Russia.
Shut up. Don't worry about it.
Look at this from Laura Loomer. Thank you. Over time, more and more people will feel safe to admit they fell for Russian propaganda. Nigga, you got to understand, they pushed the Russia hoax for literally years. And we were told on the right to fight against that. And we studied and did fight against that. Now we're all the way back full circle, except it's them doing the Russia hoax. Let me break it down for you. Russia tried to join NATO twice. After 1991, the Warsaw Pact was disbanded, dissolved. That's why Ukraine is the country that it is today. We agreed not one more inch over the red line. We added 12 more countries after that. We sign agreements that we tear up. And then he tells you, you got to go commit nuclear war, commit ground troops, give him more weapons, give him more missiles. He wants a nuke. Zelensky has said this before. He wants the nuclear weapon. And here's the thing. The strongest argument for Ukrainian sovereignty is that they gave up their nuclear weapons in an agreement to be neutral, both the West and Russia. That all goes away when you have 36 NATO exercises in your country and they're firing long-range ballistic missiles made in European nations, made in NATO countries, into Russia, killing civilians, blowing up civilian infrastructure, power infrastructure. Zelensky, cut back to him. Cut back to his face. He thinks it's cute, and he calls it long-range sanctions. That's what he calls it. He goes,
oh, it is not missile. It is long-range sanction on evil Russian because they kill Ukraine.
But it's not the Russians killing Ukraine. It's Ukraine killing Ukraine. It's Zelensky killing Ukraine. He is a Western globalist, world Jewry-backed puppet, just like everybody else. And you notice the factions here. Ukraine and Israel, two of the weakest nations on earth from a resource standpoint, right? You know, Ukraine, former breadbasket of Europe, not anymore. The Russians are going to take the portion of Donbass that has the rare earth minerals, number one. They might even take Odessa, which is the only deep water port. And then they're truly screwed. They're a rump state because Poland will want parts of Western Ukraine that they consider to be theirs already. So you could play that back in 10 years when I'm, that's crazy to think about, 33 years old in 10 years, play that back and just I'll be 100% right on that prediction. That'll be like my dad with 9/11 or Epstein, you name it, because it's not complicated. If you know the information, if you know the facts, you know the players, know the research, then you're going to be able to call things like that. You can do it too. Making predictions that are accurate is not so impossible task. You just have to follow stories as they develop and understand their origin, right? Because they'll tell you the truth. They'll tell you the truth. They have to break Russia up into 5 pieces because if they don't, it destroys their plan for the new empire, right? So of course they're going to do this. There's no brakes on this train. Kind of like where I'm talking to Brandon Weichert about Trump having to do something. That's Professor Pape, Robert Pape, very distinguished gentleman, professor, you name it, work with the military intelligence, Air Force. That's what he calls an escalation trap, right? Now, everyone's aware of this now, except for the people in power, because they are aware of it, and they just choose to lie to themselves, right? It's a suspension of disbelief. It's a normalcy bias, like my dad says a lot. That, you know, they get to keep going on Fox News and they get to keep being okay and they can exist in their framework of their world and they got their friends and people, oh, you're on TV, you're Mr. Important Guy. That all ends when civilization ends, and that's going to happen very soon unless we stop it. And it's up to you. I know I got tons of people listening to me right now that may not agree with me. Like, wake up. Wake up before it's too late. Change your position. Join the right side. It may not even be the winning side, but join the correct side. Like the side that's trying to tell the truth here. And, you know, make that conversion. Start the chain reaction. Fuentes talks about it all the time. Hiding your power level. You know, trying to get into a role where you're either, you know, in the government or, you know, you're in business or you're a lobbyist or whatever. Like, you have the ability to make societal change. I know we got people like that already. I know there's not really much that can be done with this current administration because it's all Israeli lockstep, like top-down control. But coming into 2027, coming into 2028, if you have these conversations now and you make it clear now where you stand morally as an American patriot, you know, even if you're involved with the other side or whatever, you know, like, you got to build that kernel in yourself and start building that out because the time is now. Look at this. Trump is commenting on Laura Loomer's visit. You know, Trump never commented on us getting banned. Actually, he did. He said, as long as I'm on Twitter, it's okay. It's good to know that Laura Loomer, the woman who's eating dog food on camera, it's good to know that the president really cares about what she has to say. Laura Loomer, what actually happened behind closed doors after the explosive Oval Office meeting between Ukraine's President Zelensky? And then she covered it, and Trump says, very good. Let's play this. And this is when Zelensky was in the cuck chair, if we don't remember this, guys, where Trump and JD were kind of like slamming him out. And that was like the last moment that I had any hope for Trump doing what he said he was going to do, what I voted for, ending the Ukraine war on day one, before day one, as president-elect. It would take one phone call. That was his promise. It's what I voted for because I believed in the man. You could say I'm foolish, but I believed in the man. So let's go ahead and play this video.
It's a talking point. Why do you think they're doing that? I mean, because then when I
purchase for yourself, right?
Like I said, they
protected bison that comes from Canada, so that means that.
All right, go ahead and pause it. All right, we don't need to see the dog food again. That's okay. Let's just go ahead and go to clip 17.
By Tucker, and she was making a lot of very wild accusations.
Absolutely.
She accused you of doing cocaine on taxpayer dimes, and so what is your response to that? Because there was also an image, and again, I told you some of these questions might be provocative, but
it's
I
a
want
video,
to help
not
counter
an image.
Some of the propaganda in real time since we have you here. There was a photo, I'm sure you saw, in a video, and it was highly amplified by Russia today. It's you and Macron hanging out in some back room, and they said that you were all doing cocaine. So, true or false, were you doing cocaine with Macron, or were you not?
Of course, never. Of course, not. Okay. But about that.
Anything concept, said after but or before but doesn't matter. Look at him. Look, pause it. He looks off and he looks away. It's a liar's technique right there. He's lying. I mean, come on, Zelensky, you know it's an unwinnable war. You're going to die. The Russians are going to kill you eventually or your own people, whatever. He's also afraid of his own people as well. If he doesn't expand the war, expand the conflict, he's also screwed. They'll kill him, too, if he's not radical enough. So I get it. Like, get yayoed up, dude. Get that fish scale. Hell yeah, dude. Dude, Zelensky, you know what, man? I bet it feels pretty good to send millions of your own people off to die while you do coke in the presidential mansion in Kiev. I bet that's a pretty cool, you know, experience for him to have, but not for the rest of the world, not for the rest of his own people. Let's go to clip number 14, talking about more of this delusional mindset. Ukraine President Zelensky tells, oh, yes, Laura Loomer, billions of dollars of aid to Ukraine. We have to stop greater Russia from happening. Go ahead and play that clip.
Say, what is your message as the president of Ukraine to the people of America who are also just trying to survive? We have nearly $40 trillion of debt in our country. Americans are still trying to recover from Bidenflation. We have closed borders now, but we had an invasion of our country, over 25 million illegal aliens who came in. There's
I have to nod to show support to right-wing base that is now my only hope to stay alive. I don't care about immigrant. We want African immigrant. We want Arab immigrant to replace native Ukrainian population. It is what Hitler would want. Hitler would love it. Yes.
Pay for food for their children. They want to know, why should I care about funding Ukraine? Why should I send my tax dollars overseas? So if you could explain to the viewers how protecting Ukraine ultimately protects America in the long term.
You know, at the very beginning of the war, nobody was with us, really. With all respect to partners, I mean, it's their internal decision to support or not. It's true. We began the war. Before the war, we didn't have any kind of weapon, any money from the United States. It's understandable. I mean, it's okay. No question. When we defended, when everybody in the world understood that Russia will not stop with Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Why?
So they began
This is what happens in the Western media when nobody sees the truth. You can watch Lavrov, you can watch Putin talk about this. They don't want all of Ukraine. They want the Donbass regions that have been bombed and obliterated and discriminated against for decades. That's what they want. It was the policies of the 2014 post-Maidan coup government that have led to every single thing that has happened now. And when he says they want out of Ukraine and they want the Europe, they want more, he's about to go into all of this. They don't have the ability to do that, and they know that. They state that because they're reasonable statesmen. You have to invent a lie and hope that the West never sees what the Russians actually say. You know what? We don't have to go to what the Russians say. Let's just go all the way back to 2022, March, a month after the war starts, where we have the Istanbul Peace Accords, which Zelensky was about to sign on the record. The Istanbul Peace Accords recognize the Donbass as an independent region that can vote for its own sovereignty. Okay. It doesn't even recognize, I think, Kherson or Odessa or any of these other places that they're about to take probably because of the escalation of the war. Right. So Zelensky's own position about, well, if you don't give us nuclear weapon, then they're going to take all of Europe. It was never about that. They say that on the record. Zelensky acknowledged it. He was about to sign it. The only reason why he didn't was because, like a true gambler, coke fiend addict, he was told by Boris Johnson,
we're going to support you. We're going to back you to the hilt. We're going to give you what you need to win, Mr. Zelensky.
You remember the failed invasion of Russia? You know, they went into Russia. They got beat up. I think it was the summer offensive of either 2023 or 2024. Can we look up the region they went into really quick? Because this is an example of delusional arrogance. You know, maybe Ukraine could have held out. Maybe Ukraine could have done a better job of preserving their ability to fight the war, and they've done a decent job of that with the drones now, with being pioneers in drone warfare. That's the only thing keeping them in the fight. Why'd they try to invade Russia? You know, when Napoleon did that, that didn't go well. When Hitler did that, that didn't go well. When anyone does that, that didn't go well. It's the Graveyard Empire's Eurasia version, right? Now you call Afghanistan the Graveyard Empires in the West Asia. In the Eurasia area, it would be Russia. So why would you do this? Why would you think you were going to win? They don't think they're going to win. It's all a lie. Keep playing it.
We got more than Ukraine and others who've been invited to NATO before. And it said, we've been not in NATO, but they, you know, tried to occupy us because they wanted to build USSR, Soviet Union. I think between us, I think that Soviet Union is the most dangerous enemy for the United States, not only for your democracy, way of life, for all these things what you said, for private sector, for business, and etc. It was during 70 years, mm-hmm. and it will continue because the most...
Please let me absorb your soul.
...take everything back.
Oh, so no, I do not want to give you my soul. I already sold it for another bag of cocaine.
And also Europeans.
Keep lying,
of course, not the United States. It's far from away, but... The United States has business in Europe, influence.
Soon entire worlds will burn. Entire civilizations will collapse. I am fine with that. That is good as long as I get more cocaine.
Mission and idea. If they will have Soviet Union, you will get China and Soviet Union, the biggest empire,
the biggest
army in the world, and they will be really bigger than the United States, and it will be dangerous for you.
That's always what he said. You have big ocean, but you'll feel it later. And then Trump got mad at that. Look at him from Scarface. Not as cool as Tony Montana. Certainly not.
I play piano with my penis. I guess that is a unique gift. You know, certain different world leaders, they got different talents.
Dude, he does coke. He's literally just a cokehead. This is Austin. There's plenty of people that do coke. Bro, come on, man. He loves putting things up his nose. That's his favorite thing to do. Up his butt is actually his favorite, the crew is telling me. Okay. Well, you know, I guess it's July. Is July Pride Month for Zelensky? Let's go ahead and get this up here. The 2023 Ukraine counteroffensive. And I misspoke a little bit, but also didn't because the Donbass is already Russia. It's going to be Russia, right? And Zelensky himself recognized it when he was about to sign the peace agreement, at least recognized he was an independent place. Look at this. In early June 2023, during the Russo-Ukrainian War, Ukraine launched an offensive, technically and correctly referred to as a counteroffensive against Russian forces occupying its territory. And that's CIA runs Wikipedia, so I really don't care. With a goal of breaching the front lines, and it did not go well. It did not go well. That was the real degradation of their position in military power. Keep in mind, it's eight times harder militarily to attack than to defend. I had a Javelin missile operator, shout out to Daquan, explain this to me, right? Like it takes eight times more effort to attack than to defend, because when you're defending, you have a layered defense, right? So we look at, you know, the pace of the Ukrainian conflict. You have to keep in mind, there's like a 200-mile area, or like close to it, that is just covered in fiber optic cable, probably mines, enemy soldiers, positions, munitions, drones, everything, right? Like it's World War One happening right now, except nobody knows about it. Nobody cares. How many people died in World War One? Can we look that up really quick? How many people died in World War One? How many more Russians and Ukrainians does Zelensky have to kill by not signing a peace agreement or suing for peace? How many people were killed in World War One? I should know this. I'm not too big of a history buff for that time period. Can someone in my ear tell me? Just silent in the studio. Just me and you, viewer, listener, hanging out there, talking to, you know, 100,000 people at the same time through hyperspace digitally. Quiet on the creek. Okay. If only Democrat leaders loved America as much as they love Zelensky. The whole point with all this, it's very sick. It's very bizarre. Just like the Iran war, just like Ukraine, as we're discussing, just like the evolving situation with China. None of these policies are America first, and you're not hearing enough about America. Maybe you hear about some crazy racial violence. Maybe you hear about, you know, a court case. Maybe you hear about Andrew Tate. Maybe you hear about whatever. The domestic stories are really not important, and I really couldn't care less compared to what's happening across the world right now. And if you're not following all this stuff, basically damn near religiously, you need to be, because you need to be sharing these clips with your friends, your families. They need to become your viewers, your listeners. You need to start doing stuff yourself. Post videos. Now is the time. I'm Alex Jones' son, Rex Jones, telling you to do that. I started doing that when I was 8 years old. The time is now. The time is now to do all of this and more. And if you want to find out more about everything that I've discussed, I highly recommend these channels. This isn't even a plug for myself. I want you to go on YouTube, follow Judge Napolitano, Dialogue Works, Glenn Deason, Daniel Davis Deep Dive, Mario Newfall, Suleiman Ahmed. And I want you to start sharing those clips along with InfoWars clips as well. Follow Alex Jones Live, Alex Jones Live on Rumble as well. Share all these clips, all these phenomenal channels, the X creators, X posts that you like. Give them to people so that they know what you know, because once they get a little bit more information, it's like being a starving man or a thirsty man, dehydrated man. You don't know. Once you get a little bit of that fruit or water, you're going to want more, because it is the bread of life. It is the truth. Like God himself, Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Do we want to tell the truth, or do we want to lie? Do we want to tell the truth about what's happening to our country, or do we want to lie? Do we want to tell the truth more so about what we're doing to other people around the world that's domestically resulting in the situation we have at home? Or do we want to live in a lie? So that decision is really on you, the viewer listener out there. And I highly recommend you guys follow me at Rex Jones News on X and on Instagram. Really trying to build the Instagram up as well. That's Rex Jones News with a Z. If you follow me there, you'll see highlights, all my show posts, all my show clips, New American Journal every single morning, Gray Area Talks Thursday, Sunday. And I got 50%off.com, and I got Jones CBD. They're right there in that link tree. That's on my Twitter profile. 50%off.com. I got Super Blue Toothpaste, and I got Knockout Sleep Support, and I got Brain Force for you guys. You want Brain Force? Go to 50%off.com. But I will see you next week. I'll be hosting The Real Alex Jones Show. I'll be hosting War Room. I'll be hosting Gray Area Talks as well. I will see you soon on the other side. Stay safe out there. God bless you.
A massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom Mango, and Patriot Punch. Methylene Red capsules. This is a proprietary product. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in. Mind Fueled Nootropic Energy Shots. All 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxifying, upper spike protein, and it's good for your whole body, getting heavy metals out. Methylene blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate chill, and a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel Scum since 1776. the Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776, in muscle shirts, a whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexshowstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer-like underwear. It's, you know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery T-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery T-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.